expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
My name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, and really today is the day where the media descends on the Patriots and, of course, over in Indianapolis on the Colts.
He even says that, like, dismissing.
Well, I mean, it's not just happening
they talk
here.
To the Colts,
it's
too.
Not just happening here, but
it was a tonality.
This is where, you know.
This is the epicenter.
This is it.
Okay.
Yeah. And
wait, how does the trophy get there?
What do you
Are
mean?
Are there two trophies?
There probably is, yeah.
There shouldn't be.
Why not?
Because you're playing for that trophy.
There's always multiple ones.
And that just hit me. You're right.
It's the same with the Lombardi Trophy, too.
What?
It's the same with the Super Bowl. There's more than one. You know?
You don't win the trophy for the Super Bowl?
What do you mean?
Like, I thought there was a trophy, and you won it. They hand it to you.
The owner gets one. The team gets one.
Really?
Yep, there's more than one.
Wait, did you think that the ones that we have in the craft offices, like, we have to give those to people when they win it the next year?
No. I thought you got one for winning the Super Bowl.
Right, and there is the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
You're telling me there's more than one.
Is that wrong?
Yeah, that's wrong.
There's not There's not the one?
Nope.
So when I show up
somewhere, at the game itself, like, it's not like the Stanley Cup, you get one?
Nope.
Wow.
They make
mind officially.
Yeah, I thought that you got.
It's like Santa has his elves.
Oh, but I thought there was one that you.
Wow. Well,
like at the Super Bowl itself, they have it all polished up. I guess you could say that.
I thought that was the one that gets raised on the podium.
Yeah.
Is the one.
Oh, okay.
But then after the fact, they make others.
So I'm back now. Now I'm with you.
So those photos that I have with me and the trophies, those may or may not be the real trophies.
That may or may not be.
Oh, wow. I don't think those are the real trophies.
Wow. I just thought they were real trophies.
The picture you have, there's three trophies in the picture. Like, how could they be the one?
Because we won three times.
Well, what about the ones in the hall?
I didn't know there were ones in the hall.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You're right. It's now like Santa Claus. When I take my kids, you never know which one of these you sit on their lap is the actual Santa.
That's right.
He has all his helpers, and you never know, so you got to treat it like it is.
So you thought that they made a new one every year.
And the team got
that
trophy.
And the team
trophy.
That won it won the one.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Well, that's...
So if I'm a fan and I show up someplace where the trophy is,
I don't think that's outrageous.
It may or may not be the trophy.
It's exactly.
I don't think that's outrageous. Yeah, what you know.
Wow. Wow.
I thought there was an actual one that was the symbolic trophy, and then everybody got, you know, like you get a title trophy, like, you know.
No, but
whoever wins, well, Seattle got a replica.
In theory, what you're saying is correct, but the replicas are exactly the same as the one.
But they're not.
Well, they weren't handled on the podium.
Tom Brady didn't sweat on it
right.
In the sweat from the game.
There's only one of those, obviously.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crushed. Just blown away.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there nothing valid in this world anymore? Nothing you can have faith and honor in?
Rex Ryan, press conference going on
smooth.
As we speak.
Wow, he opened with, "I'm here to kick the Patriots' ass." That's crazy.
No, he opened up with, "Ahoy there!"
Speaking of really
eating
crazy,
a bunch of f-ing cheeseburgers.
Speaking of seriously like crazy statements, is did Ray Lewis really say that no one would know who Tom Brady was if
I
not
saw
for
that
the
on,
Tuck rule?
I saw that on Twitter. People were attributing it to him. It's just I retweeted.
That's one
it
of the dumbest
dumb.
Things I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's really disrespectful.
Well, it's just stupid.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
You know, he's assuming that if they hadn't won that year, they never would ever again.
Well, I don't even care about the winning.
Well,
Tom
I think
Brady
could...
would have succeeded somewhere. There's no doubt
that's what
in my
I'm
mind.
Saying.
If Drew
that's
never
my
moved
point.
In this right. league where guys get chances at the quarterback position, he was clearly an ascending talent. You all say that he was a different guy in year two
that's
than he
my
was
point.
In year one.
Right.
He would
it's
have
got
gotten
nothing to
a
do
shot
about
to
the Patriots winning.
Yeah, well, him.
He may not have gone to 9 AFC titles and all that, but Tom Brady would have been a very good NFL quarterback somewhere, somehow, somewhere.
Right.
Now, do I think that he benefited greatly from being the quarterback under Belichick? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm with Andy 1,000%. He would have been good, and you would know exactly who he is. Now, maybe he would not have been one of the all-time greats, but he probably would know who he is.
At the very least, he would have been Jay Fiedler or, you know, some guy who's scrappy, who wins, who's just – you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you could make an argument that had the butterfly effect of the Tuck rule game – and maybe they don't win three titles. I think it's a weak argument because I think the 2004 team was so much different than the 2001 team. That's really not a lot of correlation there. But you can't make an argument, I don't think, that no one would know who Tom Brady was if not for the Tuck rule.
Well, I mean, it's actually even dumber than I guess you could try to say if Mo Lewis had never hit Drew Bledsoe, no one would ever know who Tom Brady was. I actually still don't believe in that. I think he had already achieved a level of improvement that was going to get him a chance somewhere, somehow, some way.
Yep.
But to say it at the end of the year, when I think Bill was already all in on him. Bill was already all in pre-Tuck rule. He didn't need the Tuck rule, I don't think, to be all in on Tom Brady.
They could have lost the snowball game, and I think Bill still would have traded Bledsoe in the offseason. It just would have been a harder pill to swallow.
Right.
And in all likelihood,
for fans. But
the
03
and 04 team still would have been good under Tom Brady's leadership.
Yes.
He might be a two-time Super Bowl champion instead of a three-time.
Just knowing Brady the way we know him now, you guys are right. Eventually, he would have achieved his level of play.
But he had already achieved a level of play when the Tuck rule happened. Like Andy said, he had gone, whatever it was, 12-3 as a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Whatever the numbers were, 11-3, I guess it was. So to say that no one ever heard of him, I mean, that's stupid.
I mean, let's put it another way.
It's so stupid, I really don't believe. You know, sometimes you see stuff online, I'm like, I want to hear
it. Let's put it another way. Going into that Raiders game, if Drew Bledsoe had all of a sudden been 100% healthy, who would have started that game?
He was 100% healthy.
Oh, yeah.
So that backs up my point.
Yeah.
You know, Brady was, you know.
He made the determination that year before the New Orleans game, I believe, was the game after the Rams.
Yeah.
When Bill said that Brady will be the quarterback for the foreseeable future.
Right.
And
so there you go.
And that was the day that Bledsoe starting ended.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. What, Andy? Are you making hand signals?
I thought Kevin was going to get food.
Oh, well, that may not happen until 12:30.
No. I just the cart just went by.
Oh, okay.
Andy and I had to be restrained.
It's all right.
We're not going to take
a break right away to eat anyway, so you might, but I still have to do a show.
I want him
so.
Yeah, like you did yesterday. Quite a show.
Boy.
I thought you were outstanding yesterday.
Yeah.
Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean that I didn't think you were good, Fred.
Yeah. What do you think about Bill giving us some of the Lou Holtz and the toughest team they faced all year, the Colts?
We'll need to play our best game.
Did you expect anything else?
No, but
I was, back in light of our argument yesterday, me trying to say there's no chance for the Colts to win, evidently Bill feels the same way. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been referring to the Ravens today. The Colts.
He did do that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He had a little slip up.
Well, that's sort of like John Elway starting his press conference. I'd like to thank John Elway. I mean, John Fox.
Sort of, except the issue is John Elway apparently only thinks about John Elway.
Well, yeah.
At least Bill's thinking about a real team.
That is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a joke
until you told me
that it was just a screw-up.
He is totally railroading John Fox, basically. Because they made a lot of changes after last year
to
get to the next level. And so he's saying they didn't work. So, Fox, you're out, and we don't agree
don't
on what we need
to do. Don't you think one of the most impressive performances by a head coach in the NFL was that year? Mike just went out.
No,
was,
it didn't. It's when he chimes in your ear.
Was that year with Tebow and how he was willing to kind of transform their offense in short order.
Yes.
And had relative success doing it.
I think he was terrible this year, and I think he was terrible last year.
Fox was.
Yeah but I like John Fox.
I thought that was an impressive performance by a coach to adapt on the fly
and
get success out of it.
I agree.
You know?
If it were Bill Belichick, he would have been considered a genius because he doesn't force things. He takes his talent, and he molds his team and makes it work.
Right.
John Fox just kind of gets a ho-hum and then gets railroaded by your guy, John Elway. I don't think John Elway comes off looking great in this.
Well, John Elway has – I've said this before in the show. He's kind of gone down a little bit in my book.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Armstrong, Elway.
There's a lot of two-way street with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of two-way street with what's coming out of Denver. There's a lot of he said, between the camps. Jay Glazer is really, you know, the pro-Fox approach, trying to tell you all these things. And there's other people that are out there that are trying to tell you all these different things that Fox was doing that were running counter to what the quote-unquote plan was and how that was what was getting them irritated. Manning is involved in this whole thing. As you know, any kind of big personality quarterback is always involved in stuff like that. Evidently, he didn't like the fact that these media people were, you know, had the run of the place, you know, evidently at practice. Glazer would be talking to John Fox for like 20 minutes in the middle of practice, and that sort of bothered Peyton Manning. There's a lot of crap.
Yeah. Interesting.
Dysfunction. It was dysfunction.
I mean, our closest experience with John Fox was during that Carolina Super Bowl, and
we were all thoroughly impressed with him.
Now, I've been less impressed as his coaching career has gone on, but he has a little bit of a feel of the guy that can turn it around, can get you there. I'm just not sure he can close.
Can't
the
get
deal.
You over the hump.
He's not a finisher.
Yeah,
and to be fair, that's basically what Elway's firing him for is moving on from.
Yeah, I have no problem with him being fired. Now, I like John Fox.
But the problem to me is, and I don't know the details, he is definitely sort of railroading Fox.
Yes.
Are you telling me that
signing
Aqib Talib and signing T.J. Ward and everything they did all last offseason, that's all Fox? You know what I mean? They disagreed on how to get to the next level and things of that nature.
Oh, I think it's the opposite. I think that those moves were made to get to the next level, and they don't feel like he was able to take advantage of it.
Because
I think they feel like
and
they were talented
Fox,
enough
I'd
to say,
do it. The quarterback fell apart.
See, that's my
it's a quarterback
thing.
League, and he fell apart.
If Manning doesn't get hurt, at the very least, they're playing the Patriots somewhere this weekend. If Manning didn't get hurt,
right?
This game would be in Denver or New England.
I mean, the guy was gotten through with 6 torn quads. It grows every time
I think it may have been one of them was a double tear. So
right.
That's why you're not really understanding.
The muscle popped through the bone. You know how the skin, the bone usually comes through. The muscle just flew out of the bone. He had no muscle left.
Right.
But I do think that he's being railroaded. At the same time, I think that he might be justly being railroaded, if that makes any sense. I think they're making him the scapegoat, but I think that he should be the scapegoat.
Why?
Because I think that the GM did a good enough job of getting talent for him, and they didn't take advantage of it.
The quarterback
well
fell apart.
Enough. Yeah, I don't think that was it, though. I don't think that was it.
You don't think that's why they didn't?
I think they had dysfunction.
What kind of dysfunction?
I don't think that team played hard the other day. I don't think they.
Well,
played,
I think when
I don't
they,
think
saw,
they played a spirited game. I don't
because
think,
their because, leader was not couldn't perform.
But before the game started.
Well, maybe like,
I don't
they
think
knew,
they. I don't
they
think
knew
they looked
going
good.
In what his situation. I don't know.
I think that part of it. You're right, Fred. I actually think part of it was they knew what was happening around them. But stuff that, like I said this yesterday, we didn't know. We didn't know the dysfunction that was going on, but they did. They knew the coach was out, but I don't think they liked the way they were being coached.
Yeah. Well,
and it might be as simple as Manning's a spoiled brat, and he didn't like it, and that permeated the team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It might all be on Manning.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he is a spoiled – I mean, let's face it. He's a guy who's had everything his whole life. He is a spoiled brat.
And there's no question that when he wouldn't answer post-game, everybody thinks he's talking about his status because of his health and his age, basically. When that was may have actually had nothing to do with it. He may think he's physically ready to return next year, but not sure he wants to return to a place where he knew what was going on with the coach and the GM.
Imagine if he plays for a third team, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Well, I think Houston would make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
If he's healthy.
Yeah.
But he'd have to get released in order to have that, or traded, obviously. Yeah.
Now, he's due big money next year, right?
Yeah, but no guaranteed money.
No,
I believe
guaranteed.
It's
okay.
$5 million dead hit, maybe
$7.5 million
dead hit.
I thought.
Something like that. It's palatable.
Okay.
You could deal with it. No, yeah. No question.
The Broncos could deal with
yes.
it.
Oh,
yeah, it's nothing. Yeah.
If Elway wants to move on. Now he says
no, but I'm saying if he keeps him, how much does he pay?
Oh, he's like $19 million.
$19 million. Yeah, so that's a lot of money.
Well, it's what real quarterbacks make.
I know, but it's not
what Brady's made like the last 5 years.
If what you're saying, Paul, is true, and he's a spoiled brat and blah, 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 it may be more than Elway wants to pay him.
You know who's also a spoiled brat, in my opinion? John Elway.
What I'm talking about is the coaching
situation.
They're
the same guys.
And the one thing I did like from Manning's perspective, because I don't like it when the quarterback is – you know, pulling the power play and the temper tantrums and all that stuff. A lot of people thought this was all a move to undercut Fox so he could get Adam Gase the job. And I like the fact that he's not the guy. So that clearly was not necessarily the motive, because if this was a plan and was all orchestrated between Elway, Manning, and Gase,
right, that's
it wouldn't have been so quick that Gase is out and he's taking the San Francisco
right.
job.
Right.
Yes, Andy, his name is Gase.
And he's out.
And he's, jeez.
You just said it! Unbelievable. Like, that didn't even cross my mind.
Because you're a normal person, Frank.
Wow. Wow.
Well, all three Denver coaches are going to be head coaches next year,
yeah.
in all likelihood, right?
And interesting.
Yeah, it looks like Fox is going to
somebody
Chicago,
somebody from NFL.com
right?
brought up a good point, is there might be a rush by those guys to hire assistants very quickly. You know,
pulling from the same pool.
Exactly. So... a lot of intrigue there.
Shockwave sent around the AFC East, Fred. Todd Bowles, head coach of the Jets.
Head coach of the Jets.
Super
defensive
Bowles.
Coordinator. Exactly what they need.
Super
Jimmy
Bowles.
Garoppolo will win the AFC East 8 of the next 10 years.
You don't know if he can't coach.
Well, I know he won't be able to coach without a quarterback. I do know that.
Well, that's true. They don't have a quarterback. That is accurate. But he might be a good coach.
I have a question for you.
I can't say he's a bad coach because I got a
who
reputation.
Who will be the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills next year, and who will be the quarterback of the New York Jets next year?
New York Jets, I am going to say, is Smith. I don't know. I have any idea for the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, don't you think they have to give E.J. Manuel another shot?
I would think so. I would think so. Now, who stayed? Whaley stayed, right?
I believe so.
And that was Whaley's pick. He'll get a chance. So E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith, but both teams will have veterans waiting in the wings.
I mean, if Rex Ryan, you know, liked Geno Smith, he should love E.J. Manuel because I think he's better.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I don't. Huh?
You don't think he's better than Geno Smith?
Both suck.
Yeah, I don't think either of them is good.
Anyway, I was impressed with E.J. Manuel early.
E.J. Manuel is the perfect, looks the part. You know that guy yesterday who said, you look at
Cordell Jones,
tell me why he shouldn't be a first-round pick. He looks the part. E.J. Manuel is the perfect prospect who is the opposite as a player. He has
everything.
You
know what's funny
want.
About him, though? Because I agree with you that he looks the part. He does not have a strong arm.
No. Not like a gun.
No.
But he has an NFL arm. He doesn't have a
yeah, I actually think Geno Smith has accomplished a lot more as an NFL player than Manuel. I think they both suck.
That's just because he plays well against Patriots.
Well, Manuel doesn't play well against anybody.
No, I know. And Geno Smith, if you eliminate the impressive Patriots games the last couple of years, you cut and
but his, I have seen flashes pot. From Geno Smith where he looks like a... you know, a middling quarterback. And I've seen much fewer flashes.
Flashes where he looks like a middling quarterback.
Oh, I prefaced the whole thing by saying they both suck.
I know, that's a
so
bad
I'm
thing.
Not going to say where he looks like a good quarterback. No, I've never seen him look like a good quarterback.
When
I've
your
seen
peaks
him look
are
passable.
Average and your valleys right. are well below average.
And I've seen Manuel look like a middling quarterback, but for smaller stretches than I've seen Geno Smith. You know, I wouldn't want either.
I wouldn't have
and I guess Buffalo can sell it because Marone's not there anymore. Marone's the one who benched him.
Right.
So now Marone's not there anymore, so you can go back to him. It's
right.
not
oh, yeah,
a
yeah,
different
yeah.
guy. I believe in you. Right. He didn't believe
he didn't
in
believe
you.
Me. That's why he's gone. Right. And where does he end up?
I don't know.
The chairs
Houston.
Are starting to fill
he's
up.
He's going to end up in Houston.
On a beach somewhere spending $4 million.
That's that story. Bill O'Brien said if he doesn't get a job, he's going to take him as his assistant head coach at Houston.
Oh, good.
Because they're buddies.
That's not cool.
All right, let's get back to the Patriots.
I don't really care.
The meme this week, or the theme, if you will, was kind of what Paul and I were arguing about. Basically, are we taking the Colts too lightly? And as your guy, Bruce Allen.
But we weren't really arguing.
No, I know that. But as your guy Bruce Allen said, it really doesn't matter what the media or fans think about the Colts. It only matters what
the head coaches,
the coaches and the players think about the the Colts.
Based on that, are you worried?
Right. And obviously, they're going to not take them lightly, and they're assuming that they're going to be in for a dogfight. But, I mean, has this week's lost some of its luster a little bit because, at least here in New England, people are taking the Colts too lightly?
Yes.
You think so? Yeah.
This is the whole thing that I've argued with you about.
I know.
This is our Jets argument.
I know.
This week is not a typical edge of your seat. Oh, we got to talk about this matchup. And it's kind of gone because everybody assumes the Patriots are going to win this game.
And you
I think
agree
it loses some luster.
Yeah.
Yes. And I agree with that. All you have to talk about is Andrew Luck. And I don't know if you've heard, he's kind of like a sixth receiver in the passing game. Bill has used that line already like four or five different times this week. I don't know.
It's just.
Well, Mike Reese did a thing about. It was actually Ben Volen did a piece today in the Globe about how the Colts have changed since the Patriots played them. And I thought it was a pretty good piece. It went through all, they have three new guys in the line, but they're doing well. The difference between Heron. And what they did before. But you add it all up, and it still didn't seem to me like.
This is the first time they've had the same offensive line three straight weeks since the first 3 weeks of the season, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, they've had trouble up there. But they
don't have a good offensive line.
But he said that they've performed better since then, both against, running the ball. Although, even if you look at Heron's numbers, it's still under 4 yards a carry, I think.
He's not good.
Yeah.
They're not good.
So I'm trying to
and
come
up. And he's not
up
as good as the guy he replaced. That's the other thing that people.
Right.
And people keep saying, he's got Boom Heron now. But they had Ahmad Bradshaw. Ahmad Bradshaw's a better player.
Right.
And he was, he's been better against the Patriots.
But you can make the argument, if they had Bradshaw plus the continuity on the line that they have now, maybe he would have played better.
But they don't. It doesn't matter.
But they don't have him.
We're not talking about
this week. Now they don't have him. Right.
So, I mean, the only thing, beyond luck, the one thing I will say is the Patriots' pass defense didn't look great last week at times. And they have a lot of weapons. They spread the ball around. The thing Paul always gets mad about, they can spread the ball to a variety
I get mad at that?
Anytime anyone writes, Brady spread the ball around to seven different targets in that win. Who cares?
I don't think I get mad about it.
Wait, do you need to respond before I move on?
No. I was just saying, I don't think I get mad about
they
it.
They have a lot of guys that they throw the football to, and people are trying to spin Moncrief as a better player now than he was earlier in the year.
I would buy that. I think Moncrief is a better player, but Wayne is a worse player.
Certainly could argue that. Yeah.
And he has been sort of phased out.
I just think you have to talk yourself into anything.
You do.
What about the fact that the Colts blitz more than anyone? Pagano was an ex-defensive coordinator with the Ravens, so that's kind of his mentality. And in the first half of the last game, Brady was under pressure, and it did affect him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for the success in running, that might have been a tough game.
Yeah, but they've had success running against them three times.
Yeah.
You see what I tweeted out, whatever it was like 38 carries, 199.7, 5.4 average, and 4 touchdowns.
Doesn't this have all the earmarks of one of those games where they come out and they run it 4 times in the first, quarter and a half?
Yeah.
I'm
going to say you overthought it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because they're going to still have the 3-score lead.
Oh, no, and I'm still going to complain.
No, I know you will.
Up 21-0, I'm going to say you overthought it. You should have run.
Well, that's
just a real quick
that's what I was about to ask you, but
your boy Jonas, Paul and I were leaving the locker room, and it was literally, 11:59.
After
the
announcement
digitals.
Was already made to get out of the locker room.
And guess who's starting a gangbang interview? Jonas Gray. And I go to Aaron, PR. I go, if there's one guy who shouldn't be starting an interview at 11:59 before practice, it's him. Get him out to practice.
Right.
Like your guy, I mean.
Full pads today, by the way.
Maybe he has a problem with time.
Time.
Clocks.
Parties. Yeah. I don't know. Something. Starting to wonder what's going on there. Yeah, full pads. They'll be banging a little bit today.
I was starting to. I started off thinking.
And yes, Devin McCourty, it's 16. Daron Harmon was putting heat pads or something in his thing. And he goes, why? What's the weather out there? And Harmon goes, 16. And Devin goes, 16? Like, well, what did you think? I said 60? No, it's 16. It's cold out. Do you not live around here? It was cold when you drove in this morning.
There was. I started thinking about the post game storyline because they threw the ball 50 times last week, didn't run it at all, and this week you figure on paper anyway you'll run the ball a little bit more.
38 times.
and not throw it as much. And it's like, oh, all the different ways that they can beat you. You know what I mean? One of those things where it's just, you know, it's just so obvious. But Andy's probably right. It's one of those, ooh, that's what they expect us
right.
to do.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I was about to say
play,
before you mentioned that, the overthinking. I mean, don't you think they should go into this game and run the ball again
yes.
until it's stopped?
And
yes.
I also yeah. think if you're the Colts, you don't do anything additionally to stop the run, because if you have to do that to stop the run, you lose.
Right.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Now, so you just go with your regular defense, and you just have to hope you play
now,
that.
Now, I want to tie that last statement I made in with Belichick's breakdown this week with Zolak, and he obviously was on the Ravens game, and they were talking about a play that was over the middle where on the first drive, Flacco completed it for 22 yards. Then they did the exact same play the other way later in the game, and McCourty jumped it and had the interception, and Belichick made the
point. That's one narrative.
Well, no, but let me finish.
Well, Flacco
Belichick made
the
point
throw.
That, you know, in this league, it's tough. You know, people ask, I hear the yeah. media and fans say, you yes. know, why don't you just keep doing it until they stop it? And here's a reason why, because in this league, guys are smart. They see it the second time, and, you know, they take advantage. So it's you don't always want to do the same thing twice. So does that
– no.
go into this whole running
and especially not
running,
not
thing.
Running.
Yeah,
running.
Well, that's what I think.
Nothing bad comes from running except you get stopped.
Right.
That's a turnover that he's pointing to as to why you don't do that. You know, a strip sack, other ways where you could have game changing plays. Three runs and a punt is not a game changing
right.
play. That doesn't. And I actually don't buy it. To me, I often criticize color commentators on TV where they'll have a point to make and they'll have a package roll. And I actually don't think the video on the screen backs up their point. I thought that was a case of that. McCourty had to go over the top of the other receiver to get to where he was. So he was actually taken a little bit more out of position than he was on the first completion to Torrey Smith. And Joe Flacco just made a bad throw.
Yeah.
The only thing that was better that time was the trailing coverage. And I don't think it was Browner.
It was Logan Ryan.
I believe it was
Logan Ryan. Was closer.
And he was tighter.
Than, yes.
That was what was better.
And you also noticed.
So it flies in the face of everything.
But he was
also
open
noticed,
the second time, and
yes,
Flacco airmailed it.
And you also notice on the second time, the ball was released a lot later in the route.
Yeah.
Than the first time.
Yeah, and that's what the part
I think
that I think
part of that was because Logan Ryan was in the guy's back pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the part of it that was a little bit better the second time. The coverage was better the second time. There's no question right. about that. But had Flacco either just thrown it away because he thought he was covered or thrown it on target, McCourty's irrelevant in that play.
Or use the arm that God gave
yards,
him.
He was about 5 yards behind.
Too much touch on Flacco.
But I will say that this week's Belichick breakdown was excellent. It's football gold. You got to watch it.
The play I liked was the, he's going to make fun of me as I say this, the 46-yarder Gronkowski. He may have been the third most open guy on that play.
Yeah, and that was
both who manned behind him on the out and up and Edelman on the opposite seam were as open or more wide open than Gronk.
Yeah, and Paul, on your Take Tuesday, you pointed out another play with Gronk and how
the play before that.
Yeah,
exactly
he was
proceeding.
Wide open, and it, boy, the Ravens just screwed up on that play.
Yeah, because McPhee comes over to hit him. He kind of loses balance. I can't imagine that they wanted McPhee to cover him.
Nope. Well, if they did, then they should be fired.
He kind of stumbles as he's made, but he got enough. He knocked Gronkowski off his stride enough that if Darryl Smith or C.J. Mosley was dropping into the middle of zone and a safety like Will Hill was coming up from the back, they might have been around enough to bother that play. And Brady was going to Gronkowski. That's where he was going. He never looked anywhere else. Now, rightly so, because he ended up being wide open. But that was a huge play in the game.
Yeah.
Huge
and,
play.
You know, the guy that was lined up in the slot opposite Gronk for the Patriots, I don't know if it was Edelman, seemed to occupy that safety. And he had literally had his back turned to Gronk. I can't believe it.
Well, the more I watch those plays that he – and you look at him and he rewinds them and you see the safeties and the backside – They just didn't cover very well.
Yeah.
They just were off and out of whack.
And
yeah. I think they went about it all wrong, too. I think they needed to crowd the line of scrimmage and hope that they forced Brady to make deep throws that he wasn't going to have the time to make.
And
if he had the time to make them, you tip your cap and say you lost.
And here's so you bring that forward to the Colts game. Yes, the Colts blitz a lot. But they don't have that one guy that you have to game plan around. Their sacks are pretty much spread across a multiple amount of guys. So
they got some
guy
I've never heard
the
of.
The pressure could come from any place. But
yeah,
if the Patriots employ that – I
kind of liked him.
All right, the hell with it. If the Patriots employ what they did against the Ravens where it's out of his hands really quickly, I think they're going to have a lot of success because
– Oh, I don't.
You don't?
No, I think they got to go down the field. Because if the Colts back off like the Ravens did, I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned. That's not how Vontae Davis.
No, I know they play closer to the line, but
so if you're just getting the ball out quickly.
But don't you think our receivers can beat them one on one?
If you don't have time?
Yeah,
no.
If you don't have time.
Not if you don't have time. No.
Well, then you're putting a lot. You're putting it all on the offensive line.
I don't expect the Colts to have a lot of pressure.
So then you're putting. Wait, well, now
they're not anywhere near as good up front as the Ravens.
But you're putting it on the Patriots' offensive line to give Brady time in this game, correct?
Yeah, I'd be stunned if Brady doesn't have more time.
And you
than
think
he did
they
the
can?
Day.
You think
Absolutely.
They will?
Yeah.
I'm not as confident in the O-line, and Josh Klein, in particular.
Yeah.
Klein and Wendell in the middle worries me against anyone.
Well,
you can put them against Alabama.
And you have the same confidence if Stork's not in there.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's a huge. I mean, I think it's obviously better. The better players that you have, obviously, the better it is. I don't think that's a huge difference maker. Your center being out. You know, when you have a guy who's played center, I mean, if it's one of those deals like San Diego and you're down to like four and five centers and guys never played the position, and, you know, that can be troublesome. But Ryan Wendell has played a lot of center with Tom Brady. I'm not overly concerned about that.
Not the center I'm worried about.
Well, you just said Wendell and Klein.
Well, the combination. I think Klein has shown, ever since he you know, put his name in the mix as a developmental guy, he's shown nothing but suckiness.
Listen, I'm not saying that that's the best area of the Patriots. That's the area to worry about. I just don't look at Indianapolis as a heavy pressure team. I think they blitz a lot because they have to, because they
right.
don't get pressure on you if they don't.
And that worries me. Blitzes in the middle, blitzes that involve Klein. Yeah. Either way,
you blitz Brady a lot, you're going to lose. You're going to get burned because Brady's going to eat that up.
You blitz him at the right times and in the right spot, and I think Klein could end up looking like he's got his pants around
his
ankles.
Is this the part of the week where we're trying to talk ourselves into the fact?
Well, yes, that's what I'm trying to do.
A reasonably close game.
I'm trying to get people a little worried. A little worried.
I don't want to. You guys are not allowed to respond to what I'm about to read, okay? Because I don't want to go.
We're not allowed to respond.
But I laughed out loud when somebody tweeted out this morning. AccuScore. I don't really even know what that is, but it's a computer-based percentages. They run the digits and everything between teams. Has the Patriots with a 58.5% chance of victory, the Colts with a 41.5% chance of victory, Seahawks with a 59.5% chance of victory over the Packers, 40.5%, and the Patriots with a 51.9% chance of victory over the Seahawks, 48-1 in the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
Based on all your
I like AccuScore.
30% chances of all that.
I wasn't allowed to respond.
Are you mad at that?
No, I said I like that.
Okay.
Here's where Paul says, AccuScore's got more faith in the Patriots than you do.
No, you told me I couldn't say that. So.
I know, that's why I did it.
I followed the rules.
No, I say the Patriots have a 70% chance of winning this week.
No. I'm talking about the next game.
Oh.
I followed the rules, Andy.
I know. Thank you, Paul.
Rob,
appreciate that.
Rob writes, and I really enjoy the show. I'm a longtime listener, but I've never called or written. The reason that I'm doing so now is because you were so off base in your predictions of the Baltimore game last week, and are way too optimistic regarding your predictions of the Colts this week. All I heard last week was that the Patriots are going to easily beat the Ravens, which was way off base.
That wasn't my prediction. I said the Patriots are going to be up by four in the fourth quarter, and they're going to need a defensive stop to put the game away.
Now, Paul's prediction that the Colts have a 0% chance of winning is going to be way off base as well. I do not agree that the Patriots win at all the matchups as you predict. The most important matchup is at the quarterback position, and that is where the Colts are superior. Oh, see, you lost me right there. Andrew Luck is one of the two quarterbacks in the league, along with Rodgers. I predict that he will dominate. I guess he meant one of the two best. I predict that he will dominate on Sunday relative to Brady, who is clearly on the back end of his career. The Patriots defense puts no pressure on the QB, and Luck is going to pick them apart and run for big yardage when the receivers are covered. Browner is way overrated and cannot cover and gets penalties all the time. The Patriots defense plays better when Browner is out of the game. The Patriots peaked over a month ago, and the Colts are peaking now, which will give them the momentum they need to win this one. The Patriots are going to be overconfident going into the game, and the Colts are going to be out for revenge and more hungry. I predict a big upset with the Colts winning 41-17. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't like the feeling
of
things going into this game. It reminds me of the 2007 Super Bowl.
Who wrote this?
This is Rob.
From where?
He's
from Indy?
Looks like he's from Canada.
Oh. I am truly stunned by that prediction. I am truly stunned by that.
He's a worrywart. He's
well, that's not a worrywart. He thinks the Patriots are going to get blown out.
He's one of those guys like me that have the PSSD from 2007, And we're worried about, you know, when people get too overconfident. Post-traumatic Super Bowl disorder.
Yeah,
I know we all thought, we all thought, and we were all wrong, that the Patriots were going to roll over the Giants in 2007 in the Super Bowl, okay? But they did just play. Those two teams had just played a game that went down to the last play.
Right, that's true, in the season.
Okay, yeah. Well, now again, we were all wrong. I was wrong. Everybody was. We all thought the Patriots were going to roll in the Super Bowl. But you don't think there's a difference between 38-35 in the last game that had taken place like 4 weeks earlier and what's the margin of victory?
22 points?
22,
something
yeah.
like that?
I mean, the last three games.
Yeah. But, Paul, the first half was tight.
It was.
Listen, I started thinking of things because Fred got so mad at me yesterday that I could – things that I could talk myself into why it might be reasonably close.
Because they have the better quarterback.
I believe – I don't remember the very first one. I don't remember the very first one, Luck's rookie year, that ended up 59-20-something.
I do. Aqib Talib made that big play where Luck hit him in stride crossing the middle of the field.
But the playoff game last year and the game this year were both one-score games in the fourth quarter that ended up being Patriots ended up winning both going away. But there was a time in the fourth quarter that the Patriots had the ball leading only by a touchdown, and they put the game away. So I suppose – if you're only up by a touchdown in the fourth quarter, that game is still in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try to talk yourself into it. I mean,
I got one.
I look at it as those games were sort of only a touchdown difference, but
you didn't feel worried.
Were thoroughly in control.
Yeah, you didn't feel worried.
I felt a lot better in those games than I did when the Patriots were up by four on Saturday.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The guy with the big ears on TV now, not Michael Silver, when they cut to Andrew Cicilline, tweeted
Siciliano.
Out. Patriots, Bill Belichick, 19-8. Postseason record, the eight losses are all to teams he played and beat in the regular season.
I saw that, and I think he got that from Mike Reese, but anyway.
Wow, he just flat out
stole it. But how many of the wins are also from teams?
That doesn't matter to me.
It does.
Doesn't to me.
A lot of times in these games, you're going to meet a team that you played in the regular season because you're playing all the first place teams.
But it doesn't matter. When you lost, it was a team you played and beat in the regular season. So the Patriots are playing a team that they played and beat during the. I'm not saying it's a guarantee that Colts win.
See, I didn't know about the second part of that stipulation. I thought it was just all eight losses were against teams that they had played in the regular season. I didn't realize it was that they had
played and beat. I didn't think it was that either.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was just
like
played.
The Giants.
Yeah.
In 2011.
Oh,
they played them and lost to them.
So it's just teams they played in the regular
season. Yeah.
Okay.
But doesn't that happen a lot? Pittsburgh and, you know, over the years, Denver, you know? I don't know. Jim writes in from Syracuse, longtime listener, first time email. Appreciate the show. Anyway, I got two questions. First, you touched on the pass rush on Tuesday. It was abysmal and disappointing, but what do the Patriots have to do to fix it? Should Ayers see the field more, maybe blitz more than normal? And second, you guys also said you thought going into the Ravens game, the defense was the sure thing, but the performance surprised
you. That I was wrong about.
What do you think could be this week's sure thing that might go wrong? Good question. No, that's a good
sure thing that might go wrong. The Patriots will run for a lot of yards. That's the sure thing.
Or they'll have success running.
I would go Tom Brady. I mean, Paul's longstanding theory
you think that
he's not great in the postseason.
When's the last time he had two good postseason games in a row?
That right there.
I can't even stop laughing as I'm saying what
I think is his best playoff performance in a decade. So he's a sure thing to be the better quarterback on Sunday, right? Maybe not.
Okay. All right.
I'm not saying he's going to suck. I'm saying a
Greg
sure thing.
Greg Bernard said he wasn't very good in that
game.
Well,
whatever.
I mean, listen, Monday morning quarterback, SI.com, whatever it is. I mean, he's
highly paid analyst on
98.5. One guy's opinion was that Brady wasn't all that good.
I don't care.
He also thought Chandler Jones was great.
How did he back it up?
I didn't hear the statement.
What do you think about fixing the pass rush? Is there something they can do?
No. And I think it's even more problematic that, and I just talked to Ninkovich about this for a while, is – you know, that whole idea they need to have a controlled rush this week because Luck can extend plays and he's big and he can move. That even to me, now a team that's not even that good at the pass rush can't be overly aggressive, can't even try. You know what I mean?
But haven't they seemed to have gotten some pressure on Luck? Not a lot of sacks, but they've gotten him in third and longs and they've gotten some pressure on him, it seems to me.
Some marginal, I would say.
Yeah,
I just don't have a lot of faith in their pass rush.
Lance is from Korea. I'm assuming south. And he says,
it'd be better if it was north.
I'm a crazy fan, but walked away from the game at halftime. It was too painful. But when I returned and looked at the score, I was so happy that I wrote a poem about the two quarterbacks. That's a very short poem. 1-2 is a QB. 1-1 is 1-2. When 1-2 won one game, can 1-1 help win next two? F the Colts. It's a good little poem.
It is.
Makes you think.
It does make you think, and it made you think while reading it.
Yeah.
It made me think because I have no idea what was just said.
Talking about Edelman and Brady.
1-1 and 1-2. Ones and twos.
All right.
On their P's and Q's.
Yeah, I asked Amendola if it was the shortest combination for a touchdown pass in postseason history. I hadn't heard that. I don't know.
Oh, here's what...
Is that the highlight of the interview?
And I did conduct the single worst interview in PFW TV history.
Here's an email from...
that was awful.
Sherwin, just about what you were talking about, Andy. I know that Bill puts no stock in stats, but the following statistic identified by Mike Reese is troubling. Any explanation, whatever the underlying principle may be, please explain why it won't apply this weekend. My wife and I will celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary by attending our first Patriots game, and
nice.
We would like to see our difference-making defense show up in the postseason. I'm no Sinatra fan, but let luck be a lady Sunday night. That's Sherwin in Wallingford, Connecticut. And here's the thing. Common thread in playoff losses under Belichick. All of the Patriots' 8 postseason losses under Belichick were a rematch, just a rematch,
okay,
from the regular season.
Okay.
So
everybody's saying that he gets the advantage when he knows a team, having played them. And
right. That's not
maybe
necessarily
it goes the other way.
Right.
Although,
okay.
Now do you?
But how many of the wins were rematches?
Yeah, I'm going to play Fred's side of the street here, okay? 2001, they played Oakland and Pittsburgh, two teams they hadn't played in the regular season that year. But they played the Rams in the Super Bowl. It was a rematch.
So 2-1.
1-0.
I mean, 1-0.
2003.
2-0 in games.
2003, they had a rematch with Tennessee and won. 2-0. A rematch with Indianapolis and won. 3-0. Did not play Carolina. Indianapolis in 2004, 4-0. Pittsburgh in 2004, 5-0. Philadelphia, they didn't play. 2005, didn't play Jacksonville and didn't. Oh, they did play Denver. So that's 5-1. 2006, the Jets, 6-1. San Diego, they didn't play. Indianapolis was a rematch, 6-2. 2007, Jacksonville, they didn't play. San Diego, they did. That's 8-2. Giants is 8-3. Then we go to 2009, Baltimore was a rematch. So that's 8-4. 2010, the Jets, 8-5. 2011, Denver, 9-5. Baltimore, they did not play Baltimore in that regular season. And the Giants, so it's 9-6.
So it's a 15 sample size.
Houston, 10-6.
Yeah. 16.
Baltimore, 10-7. Indianapolis last year, they didn't play. And Denver, so that's 10-8.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more.
So he's a 500 coach when he plays a team again in the postseason. A little bit above, but
yeah.
And that's real quick. I didn't like study every single game. Right. I might have missed one there.
Only 10-8 in rematches.
All right. One more email before we take a break, because there's some food here.
It used to be a big thing because he was like 6-0 in the right. rematch in the playoffs.
Dan, but everything used to be a something and oh.
Dan in New Jersey, the lengthy exchange between Fred and Paul during yesterday's show was indeed entertaining and indeed long. So long, in fact, that it was longer than my commute from work. I may have missed the ending, but one point I wanted Paul to pursue was Fred's estimate that the Colts have a 30% chance of winning on Sunday. 30% to me represents better than a puncher's chance, which I think is no more than 20%. To think of this another way, does Fred think the Colts have a better chance of winning than David Ortiz or any competent hitter has of getting a base hit against an average pitcher? Because that's the same rate at which a 300 hitter can expect to reach base other than a walk. If you want to keep the batting analogy, I think the odds are the same as David Ortiz versus Mariano Rivera, whereas Paul would probably say the odds are like Steven Drew hitting a grand slam off Rivera to win a game.
Okay. That's well said, because I do think 30 is more than a puncher's chance.
Yeah, I think that they have a 30% chance. If you want to call it that, fine.
So they are David Ortiz. They're a good player.
Yeah, I mean, they're not here because they're a terrible football team.
No.
You know?
I didn't say they were.
All right, let's take a break.
Terrible
we'll be right back. A lot more calls, a lot more emails on a Wednesday edition before the AFC Championship.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I got my tonsils out, and I had a, back then you stayed overnight. But this was planned. I mean, back then I sucked my thumb and I had a blanket. And I did.
What a pussy.
I stopped that last year. But
we know who the pussy is now.
So you're in this crib at night. And, of course, if you need anything, you had a button to, get the nurse there. So I realized my blanket was in my suitcase.
He said suck it with his eyes.
So I remember.
You're 6 years old.
I remember being this little kid, but so I press the button and the nurse comes over and she says, well, what do you need? I said, in that suitcase there's a blanket, I need it. And this thing was like tattered because I had literally had it since I'd been born, where I rubbed it was all worn out and everything. So the nurse goes in, she goes, this thing? And I remember I said, just give it to me.
I don't need your commentary.
I was like 5 or 6. Just give it to me.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
But I remember just saying, just give it to
just
me.
Give it to shut your hole, lady.
All right, back here on PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is how you email us. Eric's here.
Hey, Fred.
Just came back from where?
From practice and from media lunch availability.
Wow. So,
are you happy with what we got?
Did the lunch answer questions at the podium?
The lunch answered more questions than the players did.
It answered the growl to Andy's stomach.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. And I say it again, they do a good chicken parm here.
They sure do.
Yeah, and it's almost unfortunate that we're not playing the Broncos this week because we could say,
chicken parm, you taste so good. We said it anyway. So what's what's going on at practice?
Unfortunately for rookie Brian Stork, he's the only player not out there in a full pads practice.
Oh.
I told you he wasn't playing.
On the game field. So, and it's a little bit.
If they were actually playing an NFL game this week, I'm sure he'd be out.
Wow.
I don't think he would. I also found it interesting.
I don't think he would either. I was just kidding.
In the middle of the locker room period, Moses Cabrera and Harold Nash were standing right at Stork's locker. He wasn't there. He was nowhere to be seen. Like talking to each other and looking into his locker, which I found interesting. And I know sometimes the training staff or the strength will get pads, will get this and bring it so we don't actually see the guy limp or see whatever.
Right.
But they didn't take anything. They didn't bring anything out of there. And it was just
maybe Stork was in the training room and he asked them to get his blanket and they were looking for
like
it.
You.
Yeah.
And he said, just give it to me.
Yeah. He seems like a crybaby.
So that's unfortunate, but not really unexpected either. We'll see.
But it answers some questions. He's not in good health right
now. No, I just hope it's not an IR thing.
Right.
I hope it's just
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, but I would hope not because they could – I think they can get away this week without him, but they are going to need him if they advance past this week.
Okay. All right, and is that it?
Full pads.
Yep.
I mentioned out on the game field. It's cold. It's a little bit flurrying, not anything significant, but
snow drizzle.
I know we're not supposed to quote directly from what happens at practice when we hear things, but we can paraphrase. Yes,
no,
we can't even say that anything was said among people.
I'm not so sure you're supposed to.
Okay,
what'd they say?
Well, I can't say it.
That
would be something nice to add.
Without saying what was said, was there a tenor to it? Was there a theme to it?
There was a deliberateness to something that was said in close proximity to where media were standing.
Yep.
And if
who said it?
Somebody pretty high up.
Robert
Kraft. The coaching staff.
Oh, and Bill Belichick.
Maybe.
And what was the tenor of it?
Well, the way where we are in the stadium, we're at the lighthouse end, and where the players line up, it happens to be where the offensive line is. So we are the closest players to us are the offensive linemen. And a certain member of the staff might have come over and said some things to them about the running game and how important that might be this week. Although it was said...
That seals it. They're going to pass 100 times.
although it was said with a smile, and the people who heard the message were receiving it with smiles on their faces as well. So to me, it seemed very...
You were set up
very
like a month.
Very deliberate. Yeah. Very deliberate for something to be maybe written about later.
Well, I'm just going to criticize Josh now. Overthinking it. Josh, Bill, you're overthinking it.
If it's true.
Yeah. Run the damn ball.
Jason in Maine writes in, does the NFL just store that AFC Championship presser backdrop at Gillette Stadium since it's mostly likely going to be used there every year anyway?
They have a copy.
Eric, did you know that the Super Bowl trophy is a farce?
What do you mean?
That there's like a bunch
several
of them?
Several of them?
Yeah.
Well, there have to be.
I didn't know that.
There has to be. There can't just be one.
There should be.
Well, they have to make a new one. They would have to make a new one every year,
well,
obviously.
No. I know that.
But there would have to be several of them because they have to have them on display at each of the locations. They'd have to have one at the Super Bowl. They have to have one that they have to engrave at the Super Bowl.
That's just one. All that can be one.
No, it can't. But when the teams are...
I really don't understand how it can be one.
When the teams
you
are
keep saying that.
At their own facility the week before the Super Bowl,
there won't be a trophy here.
No.
So when the Patriots go on the road to some community center and they bring the Lombardi, it should be missing from the hall is what you're saying.
Yes. And those kids
on loan
should be like, oh, my God, that's the trophy that Brady held up and made that face.
Right. Well, no one knows which one that is. That's the thing.
I know. That's why we compared it to Santa. You never know which one of them all is the real one, so you got to treat it like it is.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
Okay.
But
the Stanley Cup. To your point, the Stanley Cup is just the Stanley Cup.
Well, that's even better. That would be if they passed 1-1-1.
But the difference between that is that the teams don't have it on display, you know, permanently.
They get a small cup, right?
Right.
There's a trophy cup.
Right.
Fraud on people.
So you would rather there be a small Lombardi trophy given to each of the teams afterwards?
No. I'm okay with there should be 48 Lombardis out there. 48 of them. And there'll be a 49th this year.
That's what
I don't
thought
want.
It was.
98 of them, 150 of them.
Right now in Foxborough, I think there is at least two. Right, because you're saying that there's one on display at the hall,
mm-hmm.
and there's one on display here inside the stadium.
Oh, well, I don't know if there's one on display, but
don't they have
somebody
like, the
has
ones
one.
in the craft?
Like I'm not sure. Oh yeah,
doesn't
right
Robert
there
have a trophy room and
the
people get
room
invited?
That's right. Yeah,
they don't run those back and forth.
The look on your face just made me think I was telling tales out of school, but I didn't think
you're right.
Something that was a secret.
Yeah.
Terrible. And I'd have no problem if it was a replica in the hall, if it said somewhere really fine print, you know, this is a replica that we made up. But I think there should only be one. I hate it.
I hear what you're saying. Melvin's in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Not much. Couple of quick points. Just to point out, I don't know if you all noticed, but it's kind of funny that if you all look at the picks that you all pick, how you all pick games, do you all keep up with like who's like leads the actual Patriots picks?
Oh yeah,
it's funny.
Sure.
Like
in Patriots picks only?
Like just the Patriots.
Yeah, I was 12-4 this year.
I can confirm that Fred was 12-4 this year.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was funny because
I believe Fred all time at Gillette Stadium is 118.
Yeah,
100 wins, 18 losses.
I picked
Eric went 4-12.
I picked against the Patriots a handful of times, but not many.
Yeah, it's just funny to me that like this year it seems like if you listen that Paul kind of has the he's really good at predicting what that would happen without the Patriots games. Last year it was Fred. Remember Fred had his little predictions going on like the Miami thing or whatever it was. But this year it's funny that. Kind of just if you kind of lean more towards Paul, it seems like the game kind of goes more directed and how he how it's designed in his head.
So Paul's been more accurate and okay.
Yeah,
I'll buy that.
That's strictly anecdotal though. I can't
Yeah, and it's a coincidence, but I just noticed that Paul just kind of has a knack this year towards leaning towards the game. And Andy,
yes.
I'm surprised you haven't been more like just watching Dallas games, and then I'm going to get to the Patriots, I promise. But the Dallas games, I've kind of looked at, I'm really happy that LaFell is fitting in with our wide receiver court because, the Dobson thing kind of didn't go according to plan. But I always look whenever I see watch Dallas, but that Terrence Williams dude is pretty good. I'm surprised you haven't been more on, praise him more because I think he was a pretty good player. It seems like just so happened that we – got a guy.
You must have missed my tweet the other day in the middle of the Dallas game when he caught that long touchdown, and I said, does anybody remember when I begged the Patriots to draft Terrence Williams?
Oh, yeah.
I caught it.
I missed it, for sure. And one last thing.
I don't follow him.
And then, but just getting to the Patriots game, I wish y'all talked about the fact that the Allen guy that tight end has, I don't think he played last time.
He got hurt early in that game.
Early. So it's going to be interesting to see how he adds kind of to the Colts offense because that was a kind of blow that we you know, Bradshaw got hurt, Allen got hurt.
Yeah.
We really didn't have to deal with that last time. So it's going to be funny to see, you know, I know what's called that guy's still out. But
Fred's getting very excited, Melvin.
Well, okay.
Fred's giving you the nod of approval.
Thanks for the
Don't
call,
forget
Melvin.
About Art I Jones.
All right. Now, guys, is there any chance still in thinking that the Patriots win the game, but that this is a shootout? Any chance of that?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You could talk me into a shootout based on all of a sudden maybe we weren't just wrong last week. We were really wrong about the Patriots' defense.
Right.
So all of a sudden,
not good.
Yeah.
That was not an aberration. They're not that good.
Right. Or whatever, you know, swag they had going on in November is gone now. You know, that you could convince me of
that.
That's
what that guy said. Peak too early.
I don't think that will happen. I don't think envision the Colts being in the 30s in this game. But I certainly did not envision the Ravens being in the 30s either.
Right.
And they were.
And by the way, throwing the football when you can and should run it is a reason to think you could lose.
Yeah.
Because bad stuff could happen, and you're maybe putting yourself in a position you don't really need to be in.
Dan's in Virginia. He's been holding on for quite a long time. Thank you, Dan. What's up?
Quickly, before I get into my actual call, with regard to your Lombardi question, when I visited in the offseason, they actually had three on display in the hall. So I don't know whether those are all fakes or whether they...
No, those are representing the three Super Bowls. Yeah, the three Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's sort of what we were talking about, that there's three maybe in the trophy room here, three in the hall. So which ones are real, you know, replicas, and how many more are there? That's my disappointment.
I get what Andy's saying. You know, for each Super Bowl, there should be one. I get it.
Right.
I get it.
Like, I know it's stupid to think that it really matters because it doesn't, but in your head it kind of does. You know, it's like a woman who loses some ring that's really not all that valuable, but her grandmother gave it. You know, it has sentimental value.
It's like the guys who, you know, the Super Bowl rings. Guys have lost the rings before they had stolen. And sure, you can go to Jostens or whoever makes it, and they'll make a replica. And it's the same ring, but it's not the one that you were given on that night when everyone else got theirs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's something.
Not that feeling of touching history.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
It'd be like if you went to the hall and, you know, they had, you know, supposedly the ball that so-and-so threw to so-and-so for some play, and then you find out later it's not really, it's just a ball. Well, I know it doesn't really matter, but it feels like it matters.
Well, it's truth in advertising.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the whole thing with these game balls. I mean, there's
game
13
used.
Balls used in a game. So,
yeah.
You know?
Well, but then that's why, like, a player catches keeps the one that he catches for a touchdown or runs in for a touchdown. Like Emmitt Smith used to keep every single one and mark what score it was. And
I heard on the LaFell touchdown catch last game, that set a record for Brady or something, and LaFell had given it to someone in the stands, and so they were looking to try to get that ball back somehow.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Thanks, Dan. Let's go to
Did Dan ever get to his real point?
Oh, did I cut him off?
I think you did.
Oh.
Sorry, Dan. He said, before I get to my point about
Fat
the
fingers.
Trophies, and
all right. Well,
which is crazy because he lets other people just babble on for hours. I've actually seen some emails that say we should just flat out not take calls.
Yeah,
stick
I
with
don't
emails.
Like that.
I did see a couple of like
I think
that.
Because they think we do a good job of rooting out bad emails and mocking emails and cutting them off rather than letting people audibly babble, say dumb stuff.
I have seen those emails, but I don't agree with them. I think that we have room.
Either.
I think we have room for everybody.
And I think bad calls equal entertainment. Like,
well,
we make it work.
We always have room for Chester in Portland. He's on the line. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, you got me thinking about this conversation with the swagger that's gone now. You know, and I feel like that came back in many ways this past game. You know, I for one really underestimated the Ravens, and you know, came out the other end thinking Joe Flacco is a pretty damn good quarterback for one, but. You know, that being said, I feel like the offense is on its way back. And after this game, I feel a very similar way, except, you know, that we obviously won, you know, that we did it after Kansas City. This defense got bitch slapped. And, you know, I think they got to come out with fire this week. If this is a shootout, you know, then we got much bigger concerns, you know, going forward from there. You know, with that said, where are we at with Vince Wilfork? I feel like he's not showing up in key times here. But you guys got anything to say about that? I mean,
I thought the big guys up front, Chester, were disappointing. Fred talked about this yesterday. That was one of the things that really you were really surprised at. Those guys up front
got pushed all over the place. And, you know,
it was bad.
Someone, as I was walking in this morning, our old friend Brian Morey from the Hall at Patriot Place, speaking of the replica trophies.
Presented by Raytheon.
That's what I was waiting
and
for.
And your old friend.
he made a comment to me about it almost looked like those guys up front were waiting to get cut. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Ravens cut blocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there really didn't seem to be a ton of that in the game. They were pushing the guys back, but Brian made a comment. It was almost like they were sort of reacting as if they were waiting to get cut, and that got them on the.
If you wait too long,
got
you
on
will
the heels
get cut
a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, to me, I was just wondering if Baltimore's offensive line was that good, or if our guys, namely Wilfork in the middle there, lost a step. You know, I mean. You know, with him coming back this season, my expectations with a healthy Chandler Jones is that he was going to take more attention to free a guy like Jones up to make a play or two, or vice versa for that matter. You know, in this case, both of them were just severely dominated. And, you know, I'm looking for them to come out with something to prove this week.
Yeah, so, I agree.
You know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
and, you know, they need to step it up.
I just don't think you're going to see much of a difference from the inside.
To make a big-time statement here and pave the way for, you know, a hopeful Super Bowl, you know, appearance this year, but I ain't counting out Indy, and I'm going to leave you with this. Is there a possibility of a playoff trap game? I mean, everybody's overlooking this damn game. I can assure you they're probably not in the locker room, but, you know, I'm taking Indy seriously. I'm looking to whoop some ass, but, you know, I don't want to be looking past opponents here. That's all I got for now, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Chester.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I feel confident enough that they're going to win the game.
Everybody does.
I mean, but I don't think that's looking past the opponent. I'm giving Indianapolis credit. I think they're going to make it a competitive game. I don't think they're going to come in like they have the last three times and get the doors blown off.
But I do think, I said it yesterday, I think it's a motivational trap game in that those TVs that they rotate the motivational materials on, I said to you, Fred, either you make stuff up this week or you don't put anything on the TV, and that right there sends a message.
Silence is...
We didn't have anything this week.
The silence is deafening.
And there's not going to be a lot of
material
to pull from to cull in the clips.
No, I
that
do
other
think
thing about the cut block is very interesting. I'd like to go back and look at that now because...
Well, Brian said he did, and he was looking at some of
the
plays.
No, but I'd like somebody who knows football to
All right. I mean, you don't have to be disrespectful because I thought it was interesting, too. He thought that he looked at some of the guys, and they were sort of reacting as if they like were back on their heels, waiting almost for the cut to come, and they got their hands out. And
that would be a way to
push guys
go
around
against a cut block. I mean, a cut block uses your own momentum against you. You're going forward, they chop you down. You can't. It's very difficult to cut a guy who's not moving. You see it all the time on those defensive end, those backside, those screens. If the guy is sort of stationary, the guy dives, he just pushes him down and goes around it.
Right.
They're using your momentum against you when they cut you.
Interesting.
So I could see the theory of, well, you know, we're going to play a little more conservative at the line. It's sort of like the, you know, controlled rush.
Right.
Well, this is controlled run defense, and that way you'll be able to defend yourself better, but it would put you a little bit on your heels. You're not firing out of your stance.
Right.
So now you can get pushed around a little bit more, and that's interesting. I'm not sure it would fall under overthinking, but it certainly might fall under a tactic that didn't necessarily play out properly.
Yeah, now the part of it that, you know, not to throw cold water on Chester's, you know, a big improvement, those guys could play a thousand times better this week, and you wouldn't know it because the Colts aren't going to run the ball. They're not going to try to run the ball enough for it to be an impact because they can't. And even if you stop them, now, this is one of those.
Don't look at the Colts not having a good day running.
And
they
got that all sewed up,
right.
You know, because this is not a team that wants to run the ball, nor can run it well. And even if you, this is one of those games I think you can only look bad in that regard. If you allow them to run at all, like I thought Indy ran a little last week against Denver. I thought Denver looked bad because Indy's so bad running the football that any yardage that Heron got, and he didn't get much. You know, it wasn't really a big part in the game.
63 yards
something
or
like that.
You know, so anything they get on the ground is gravy for Indianapolis. I mean, I think they had wouldn't they have like 19 yards rushing in the first game?
Yeah.
The Colts?
Yeah, and 15 of that came from Luck. 7-for-4 for Bradshaw, 7-for-0 for Trent Richardson in that game.
Right. Ethan writes in, wondering if you guys think it will be Blunt or Gray this Sunday carrying the ball. I think it will be Blunt. If I'm right, will Blunt run wild like Gray did? And by the way, I can't watch a game without curse words. If we advance, will you do curse words in the Super Bowl? I have in the past, and I plan on doing it again if I can.
You know what?
When did
that
you
lucky.
When did you start curse words?
47, I believe. 1947.
Was it the aughts?
Yeah.
So they've never won a Super Bowl with you doing curse words.
Ooh, really? Wow.
Just saying?
We've never won a Super Bowl with you there either. Oh, no, that's not true.
We've actually won three.
Were you there for all three?
Yes.
We had to roll
yeah, he wasn't
no,
with
you
us.
You didn't have
He one. Wasn't with us in the first one, but he was there.
Okay, that's true.
For PR.
So PFW hasn't won one with Andy and...
Yes.
No, they won two.
They won two with Andy.
Oh, you were with... Oh, okay, okay. Oh, that's right, because you were only in PR that first year.
I'm Mr. 500.
And
I'm two.
And then Stacey and I had a mutual parting of ways.
I'm 2-2.
And so Del Rio's going to Oakland?
Yes. Their defense is now
Del Rio.
And Fred goes, no, he's going to be the head coach there. And I said, yeah, they didn't stop you when he was in Jacksonville. Yeah. Their defense is Del Rio.
Their defense is Quinn and Mendenhall.
Oh, by the way, Eric, just to get you up to date, the reason we got into all this trophy talk was we were talking about the trophies here for the photos. And then I was like, wait a minute. There's probably another trophy. So there's extra trophy.
In Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Son of a...
Pavan from Secaucus, New Jersey. It was a great conversation yesterday. I agreed to with Fred. We cannot say that an NFL team has no chance to win on a particular Sunday. I think the Colts will play good defense against the run. Vontae Davis will play well against one receiver. They cannot stop the pass play completely, but they will definitely give the Patriots problems. Offensively, Boom Heron will play well, and one of the tight ends will have a good game. Luck will play the best game of this season this week, and the game will be close. But the Colts will lose only because they have no answer for Gronk.
I agree with that.
Another question. Last week I heard from someone on the show that you could watch PFW TV on Apple TV. It would be great if anyone can tell me how to watch. Well, you stream it from your phone or iPad.
Patriots.com.
Yeah. Because on Friday after it airs Thursday night, we post every PFW TV in its entirety. So like any other video on your computer or phone, you can stream it to your TV.
Which I actually think cuts into our ratings because people know that, and so they wait. They don't always have to go home and watch it. Because I think really we would get a 2 on a weekly basis.
Could be. Yeah, because those Nielsen people.
Not based on my interview this week. Yeah. I struggled.
Struggling.
Who'd you get?
Amendola. Oh, he was fine. It was the interviewer that was the problem. And the fact that Patrick Chung walked in the middle of it.
Between the camera and
yes.
You guys?
That's okay. That's all
right. I think it's
actually funny.
It shows
that you're in the middle.
On purpose?
Yeah. I want to say no. I want to say that he just didn't realize what was going on. However, during the course of the... Because we usually do it off to the side. We did it right in front of Danny's locker. So there was foot traffic going back and forth. Kyle Arrington almost did the same thing. Stopped and did the stutter step and then walked around the camera guy, Moose.
He's a little more athletic.
So maybe... I got to think that Patrick didn't realize.
Oh, speaking of Moose,
because he's one. I mean, he's not that kind of guy.
I was bringing you guys the lunch back today, and Moose saw me leaving the media workroom, gave me some heck, and I said, "Oh, you know, it's for the team. We're on the radio." And he goes, "Oh, you need to keep Fred fed, huh?" He said, "Tell him I said that."
Moose.
Okay.
Hey, Moose, I heard you say. You know. Okay.
You're dead after school.
Yeah. Right.
Speaking of Patrick Chung, Bill laying it on a little thick today, saying, you know, whether he's a corner, or comparing his coverage skills to
I must
corner.
Have blacked out during that time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I don't remember that.
Guess he qualifies for what a corner was in New England, you know, in recent history before Revis and Browner got here, you know, unable to cover. But, I mean, Patrick Chung is not a corner. He struggles to be a safety in terms of covering a tight end and guys. I mean, come on now. He was laying it on a little thick.
He may have a corner's physique or body type, but I don't think he's that position.
Yeah, so do you. Doesn't mean you can cover somebody.
What about just saying that he can do more things than a typical safety can do?
Huh?
What about just saying he can do more things than a typical safety can do?
No, I don't buy any of it.
I certainly don't.
All right.
Unless you... No, never mind.
Tony writes in, how can the Colts possibly win? Patriots get no pressure on Luck. Heron gashes the Patriots defensive line, catches passes out of the backfield. As Patriots defensive linemen can't pressure a quarterback, can't stop the run, and linebackers can't cover running backs out of the backfield. Arthur Jones' return has solidified their run defense. Maybe Moncrief makes a play and Hilton catches two bombs. Revis doesn't play well. Browner hurts his knee. Unlike the Ravens, the Colts play man-to-man press coverage, disrupting timing and preventing those quick throws, giving Colts defensive lineman time to move Brady off his spot.
Okay, don't click off that email yet. Go back to the top in the first three things that he said.
Yep. Patriots get no pressure on Luck.
Okay. And then the next
Heron gashes the Patriots defensive line.
Okay.
And catches passes out of the backfield.
The linebackers can't do that. Okay. Two of those three things were a problem on Saturday. Two of those three things really haven't been a problem all year. You know, at least since a long time. They haven't had any problems really stopping the run, especially lately, second half of the season. And covering backs out of the backfield has been an enormous strength of this team with Collins and Hightower specifically. All of those things were an issue on Saturday. The only one of those things that I would envision being a problem on Sunday is the lack of pressure on Luck. And I think it's Andy's point about, I think the whole control, the thing he talked to Ninkovich about, the whole controlled nature of the rush and trying to keep Luck from hurting them with his legs and getting out of the pocket to make big throws downfield. That's it. I don't think that the throws to Heron will be any significant yardage the way the throws to Forsett and Juszczyk were on Sunday.
Saturday. I mean, all he left out that could go wrong is like a tire falls off a
plane. Oh, yeah, he left out the Brady ACL on the first play
there
of the game.
There was something going on against the Ravens that left guys wide open more than normal for the Patriots defense. Don't you think?
I think
like
they had
in the flat.
They had a bad game.
They had a bad They had a bad game.
But I think it was a scheme-wise bad game.
But they also covered
game,
a couple
right?
of plays on little flat passes really well, too.
Right? Yeah.
Like Toussaint had like a 7-yard loss on a play on a little flare there was another one that they got a little fortunate that Forsett was one-on-one in space and slipped.
Right.
But Collins was right there. He was going to have to break a tackle to get any significant yards. It ended up being like a 2-yard gain.
And the one where Collins threw Juszczyk or whatever down, and then he got up, and then he threw him down again when he had the ball.
Yeah. Now, there were some plays that were uncharacteristically uncovered. But I haven't seen that all year long.
No, neither have I.
I haven't seen it on a consistent basis.
Something was going on that game. I'm not sure what it was.
You can slow down Juszczyk, but you can't just shut him down completely. That kind of athlete.
They can't.
He's a smart guy.
They played badly.
Michael the Dane writes in from Copenhagen. Or Copenhagen? Is it?
Does.
That would be better.
Yeah. Yes, Hagen does from Copenhagen.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I don't know. Thank you for the show, except for the 30-minute discussion yesterday where Paul tried to get Fred to say he thought the Seahawks are better than the Patriots. I keep hearing people read Dennis and Callahan.
Say it. Fred said it.
I keep hearing people read Dennis and Callahan mentioning the O-line doing a good job versus the Ravens.
Oh, we got news.
Referring
Aaron Rodgers says he's playing in the NFC Championship.
Oh, good. Referring to the two sacks, were they watching this game? Brady was running for his life. 9 registered quarterback hits is way too many. Do you think we will see an extra lineman against the Colts like last game?
Well, that was a run.
That wasn't a pass pro thing.
I do agree. Based on Eric, probably.
I
not.
Heard Dennison Callahan say the protection was impeccable against Baltimore, and I just wonder what they were watching.
Maybe a throw to Cameron Fleming on the first play of the game. Play action. They come out in that jumbo package.
You would kill them.
And
for
he
that.
Slips out.
And you would kill him for that.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
I would only kill them if. That is the start of the passing day. If they then line up in that formation a number of other times and run it, and that's just their way of starting it, I'm fine. But if they put Cameron Fleming and James Devlin away, and we're going to – if the plan is to pass it 50 times, I'm not happy.
No, they're not going to throw it.
Andy, I have news that is going to further destroy your, you know, positive outlook
Lombardi
on the world.
Trophy?
Jeff in Calgary writes in. Just to correct Eric, there is on there only being one Stanley Cup. There are actually 3.
Oh, really?
One is presented to the team and travels with them throughout the summer. Another one stays on display at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto for people to get pictures taken with in crap like that. And then there's the original cup that was bought by Lord Stanley that is kept in a glass case in a vault at the Hall of Fame. This is all based on what I was told last time I was in Toronto and when I went to the Hall of Fame.
But the cup that gets passed around to the players.
Is the real one.
That's the one that...
No, that's not the real one.
No, but it's the one that they've all passed.
It's the one they've all passed around.
Gretzky passed it to Messier.
It's the same one.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a little more...
Right.
You still care about that one the most.
Yeah.
Even though...
There's a unique quality to that cup as opposed to the other championship trophy.
And you're sort of right about Haagen-Dazs. It's... The name is a tribute to the Danish sound of the word... But it was actually made in The Bronx.
Oh.
New York.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Hey, you're hogging the road. let's go to John in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Good.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Hence why we said, what's up?
Did you hear about Rex Ryan?
What about him? That he guaranteed
going to
they're
the
going
Bills.
To the playoffs?
He guaranteed they're going to go to the playoffs. He said they're going to be number one in the NFL in defense. He said they're going to be a bully and that nobody's going to want to play him.
Oh, God. Well, why does he do that?
Because he can't help himself.
Oh,
he's got to be him.
What's wrong with that guy?
There is. There is something wrong with him.
No, he's a bravado. He's a cocky. He's a that's him.
You know, people say, you know, he shouldn't say that because he could put his foot in his mouth. The problem is he Relax. Wants that.
Oh,
you know, so da-da. That's what he wants to do.
He's just different. He's just different from Bill Belichick. Really Bill Belichick can't help himself either with all the crap he does. It's just different crap.
If he wins, he wins.
Exactly.
If he
loses, he loses.
I don't know if Ryan's been number one in the NFL yet. How many years did he have?
Yeah, I mean.
Six.
He can't help himself. He's
right. I would agree with
but
that.
But all I'm saying is what he says doesn't have anything to do with their wins and losses. That's all I'm saying.
All right, thanks, John.
Have you guys followed any of that? Is Pepper Johnson
staying
out or gone? I know Schwartz is out. They said they're not going to coexist.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if Pepper.
Yeah,
was...
could you imagine the two of them existing on the same team?
I cannot.
He interviewed for Giants defensive coordinator job, didn't he?
Pepper?
Yeah.
Nice.
I believe that's accurate. Yes.
Okay, good for him.
Tim's in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut up. You're not going to say it. I'm not going to allow it.
What?
I've already said it.
What no, you did it. No one heard it.
I didn't hear
it.
You
honor us with your presence.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
Paul. Thank you, Paul. Hey, I have three quick points because I know you guys have some real quick calls. Number one, I'm really excited about Jamie Collins. I think if you look at what, you know, fans of this team have wanted, they've wanted really two things. They've wanted that tall, fast receiver, which we're still waiting for. But we've also wanted that versatile playmaking linebacker. I think Hightower and Mayo are good, conservative guys. They can do some things. They can make some plays. But and I know he had a blown play where he was, you guys were talking, he was trying to do somebody else's job. But, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. And I think he's going to be a star. I mean, if you look at him, he's a playmaking linebacker. And we haven't had that in a long time. And then my final point is, the Colts, and maybe their game plan will be different against the Patriots, but against the Broncos, they wanted to kind of take away the short passing game and force Manning to throw it down the field. Jonas Gray came out of nowhere in their game, and I actually look for a Brian Timms game because if you look at our receivers, Julian Edelman's done it at times. Amendola did it last week when he's wide open, but these guys aren't really built to go deep. They're not very fast. I wouldn't say they're slow like Welker was during the end of his term, but they're not fast. They're not tall. They can't go up and get it. They got decent hands, but if you look at Brian Timms, he's more that deep threat type of receiver, and I'd really like to see him go down the field a lot more than I would Amendola or Edelman. I think those two thrive in the slot. But I'll go ahead and let you go on with that, and you guys take care.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
I tell you, by the end of the week, I'm going to be worried. We're not going to run the ball. You know, this whole maybe it's a cloak and dagger type thing. We're going to pass it and pretend we're going to run it. And now we're going to get Tim's involved. How about we just run Patriots offense and win? Because if you do the Patriots offense, I think you win. If you outsmart yourself, maybe you can screw it up.
I think they will. I think they'll do Patriots offense. They'll
throw Son of a bitch. There's not a trophy in Indy.
Really?
Oh,
just
really?
Two helmets.
Wow.
So there is more value in the AFC title trophy than there is in the Super Bowl trophy because there's only one.
Well, it makes sense because this is where it will be given out. So
right?
This is where it needs to be.
Right.
So, wow. Dan in Virginia, who I hung
I
up on,
by, this is
sent an email.
Too, so that's why it's going to be.
You know, so I'll read Dan's email since I hung up on him. He says, what the heck, an hour wait on the phone and then you cut me off before I even get onto what I called about. Don't make me call Ronald Robinson and Richie Campanella. Before I get into the rest of my email, this email is brought to you by Nationwide Insurance. Peyton Manning, one and done. Wow, so much going on in the NFL right now.
Fred.
And, oh, by the way, there are a couple of championship games on this weekend. So much to talk about, but I'll stick to a couple of comments I had going in. Andy, I totally agree with you about John Harbaugh.
I used to have respect for him, but it's fast draining away. He is compounding his whine on Saturday with a lie yesterday that he was supposedly talking about the referee's action, not the actual play.
That's what he was talking about.
And Fred, you're exactly right with the Rex Ryan Moby Dick comment. Either that or Ryan thinks that passing is only something you have to defend and not something you actually have to do. I think one of the aspects of Saturday's game that I don't think is receiving enough recognition is Brady's performance. Not only was it a great postseason performance, albeit with a couple of dud drives here and there, it was also against a team that supposedly had Brady's number in the playoffs. Finally, a question. Regarding the eligible-ineligible receiver play, do the Patriots have a lawyer or some kind of rule expert that they consult for plays like that, or do they just rely on their own understanding of the rule book? Do they come up with a play and then run it by someone, or do they go through the rules and say, you know, we can do this?
I bet you they probably have someone who has looked at the rule book, but they probably also just watch enough film of other plays, other teams.
Yeah, they didn't come up with that, by the way.
No.
It had been done before.
Right.
Yeah.
And they probably most see of the it time, and think, oh, you know, we could maybe use this week and exploit it.
Yeah, most of the time they wouldn't need to do anything more than know the rules. I would say that there are times where teams come up with things, and they probably run it by a referee, especially, and I wouldn't be surprised to find out that Belichick maybe talked to the refs before the game, you know, about maybe, or maybe before the half, because they were going to do it early in the third quarter, just to let them know, hey, you know, I think there was a, you know, and this is not necessarily apples to apples, but I think Sean Payton talked to the officials before they onside kicked in the Super Bowl
coming
out of the half. Hey, we're going to do something here just so you're ready for it. That kind of stuff, I think, goes on. But you're right, Fred. This is it caught the Ravens off guard, but it's not necessarily something that's never been done before. I think the way the Patriots did it made it unique in that they made a show of the ineligible receiver as opposed to the formation, like you kept calling it an unbalanced formation, Andy. They did it with a guy to compound the sort of murkiness
confusion
of it,
yeah,
with Vereen being an eligible guy. Vereen was the guy, you know, and then they basically had a tackle eligible. It was Hooman, then it was Gronk, and then it was Hooman. Those three plays
were
the eligible guys. Edelman ended up catching the pass, the second one.
It was sort of a magician. You know, look over here at the ineligible guy.
Yeah. Sleight of hand.
We're actually throwing
it
over there.
And I think on one play, Vereen actually raised his hand like, throw it to me.
He took a couple of steps back.
Who man just stood there? And that actually interested me, the way those two sort of treated it differently. And I don't know if that was just, you know, Vereen's a showman and he's
acting.
Like, yeah, that could be it. I don't know.
All the world's a stage,
right.
Fred. What is my motivation on this play?
Right.
That's how... First of all, at the college and high school level, these things go on all the time. Like, you have to prepare for this stuff because in a lot of places, there is a lot of crazy crap. You know, right on to, like, a guy barking like a dog on all fours like they use in basketball and they've used in... Remember the guy, recent one, the slot receiver, stood there and pretended like he died. He, like, fell down and fell over, which I didn't... I thought was distasteful personally. But they do this all the time at those levels. And then they build on it. People see it and tweak it.
I know there's a reason why the rules are what they are. Over time, they've evolved. But why isn't every player eligible on every play?
I think you just answered your own question.
Because the rules have evolved over time. But why? What was the emphasis? What was the reason for, you know, having certain guys being non-eligible or ineligible?
I don't know.
I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, I think it's up there with, like, you have four downs to get a first down.
Right.
No, I know,
like,
but
it's
like,
just part of
why
the
can't on any play any guy catch the ball?
Well, why can't you have 5 yards for a first? I mean, five.
No, I know, but there's a reason.
Because
I know it's the rule, but that's not a good explanation.
No, I get what you're saying, and I don't have the answer. But to Andy's point, what is the reason you need to get 10 yards?
Well,
for
because
a first
over time they said, you know what, 10 yards is just hard enough that it's a challenge.
How do you know?
That's what they came up with because they had
why four downs?
Same thing.
It's the rule. It's not the same thing.
But they said
not a good answer, Fred.
But that's a reasonable, you know, amount of time.
Who's
in order,
that? Well, you're making it sound like you were privy to these conversations.
No, what you can just say I don't know. You don't have to like mock me asking the question.
Fred, I'm not mocking you at all.
It's the rule.
I'm not mocking you at all.
Why?
because that's the rule. I don't know today that it ever changed.
I know it's the rule. We all know it's the rule.
I know, but there's
the
no difference
is,
between
well,
those three things. I'm not
there's
mocking,
no answer.
I don't. I, the
Why
answer
the
to your question is,
feet?
I don't know.
I'll bet you there's an answer.
Okay, well, you ask Bill and you get it.
Okay.
I
and
don't.
When he mocks you, I want
to
be there.
No, we need to call that.
You asked us, why can't we just say, I don't know?
Farley
we did. I don't
the,
know. It's the rule.
His name? The guy from the Hall of Fame? Pro Football Hall of Fame? The guy that sends those emails out?
Joe Horgan?
Oh, yeah. Joe Horgan, I've seen.
Okay. Yeah, he's one too.
Strippers.
There's
Google,
another guy named Pete Fairley.
Evolution of the eligible rule in football, or however you want to word it. We need.
I mean,
an explanation.
I do think you know you mentioned that you know you thought it was just challenging enough. I think it's probably safe to say that they figured well, it's too much burden on the defense to have 11 different guys have to cover 11 different other guys on every play.
Maybe at one point they were all eligible and it was just too easy, so they had to gradually change
but
that.
But, I mean, the answer to your question is I don't know. I mean, I don't think that Andy and I were trying to tell you, no, you idiot, or we're not mocking you.
Well, you made it sound like I shouldn't even ask the question. It's the rule. Just accept it.
But well, and it is.
It kind of is.
It's like when people say, what happens if a team goes over the salary cap?
You can't.
Why?
Because they don't want teams, you know,
but what happens
in big market that to have an advantage over teams in small market?
A guy gets cut automatically.
Why? And you see it with the Yankees and the Red Sox. That's what happens.
What? They finish in last place. Why?
But
that's different.
Okay. I'm channeling my inner
I don't want to get into a side argument here. Let's keep going.
We're actually not in a side argument.
Dale writes in, long-time listener, first-time emailing.
Why is the ball brown?
Let me start by saying fantastic
long?
Job.
Why is a touchdown worth 6 points?
Oh boy, let me start by saying fantastic job all year, keeping me informed and entertained. You guys are the best. That does include Eric, oddly enough. I just wanted to state that I feel that this could, in fact, be a very tight game up until the fourth quarter again. But as long as the Patriots play clean football, run solid, and set up play action, utilize Amendola, and unleash Gronk, there will be too much for the Colts to try and take away. If our defense shows up better than they did last week, minus the disagreeable calls from the refs, and he goes into which ones he's talking about.
Let me guess, the ones that were on the Patriots.
Then we have a great chance of winning and feel good about it. Any thoughts and concerns? Not here.
Not a single one.
Well, but he might have a concern because he said it. If they run the ball and set up play action pass, what if they don't try to run the ball?
Right.
Are you saying that's a mistake? Because I am.
I think
I am saying right now. I don't want to be accused of hindsight being 20/20. They should run the football.
I got to be honest with you. I tend to agree with you. I really just don't think it matters. I think they can do anything they want.
I think
they can come out and throw the ball 50 times in this game and be every bit as effective as they were offensively in the last game.
But that's because that's you.
I don't have the respect
if you can
that
run
Indianapolis
the football,
has what it takes
you run
to stop
the football.
Them.
And I think
that's my belief.
Teams have been able to run the football pretty well against them the last month or so.
Oh, yeah. Broncos averaged 5 yards a carry. What did I tell you? 33 of the last four teams in the regular season had 32 yards.
32 carries.
I mean, 32 carries. I mean, you can run on the Colts. And I am of the belief, philosophically, whatever you want to call it, if you can run, you run. And that makes everything easier. Yeah. Makes your play action pass
it
easier.
Keeps the clock moving.
Keeps luck off the field.
Right. It gives the other team fewer opportunities.
If they come out and throw 50 and don't run, I'm saying right now I don't agree with it. I don't care if they win 172-0. I do not agree with it.
That's fair.
And Tom Brady's ribs are much safer when he goes like this and hands it off to Jonas Gray and just stands there and watches the play than when he goes back and Josh Klein has to block somebody.
John in South Carolina writes in, first I want to know, has Eric used his pimp hand on the guy he debated on NFL Network now that he turns out to have been right as far as scoring between 30 and 40 points? You slapped him around? You slap him around?
You said he didn't.
That guy?
You said I didn't?
Well, I think the guy made a good point.
You said Mink kicked his ass.
Did you say that?
No, I didn't say that. I never said that. I said that a lot of people thought that he didn't do a good job. I think he did. I think he did a good job.
Of course he did.
Because he made the point, and it was a good one.
He was really good in the pregame show.
In 2011, we were all saying,
much better than Eric.
You know, oh, Ray Lewis is washed up.
Right. Right. A lot of people said that.
You know, and they weren't. You know, so why should, you know, we be believed now?
Sure.
And I think that was the best point made on that debate, I thought.
So he kicked your ass, Mink.
I don't think he kicked his ass.
Oh.
Why does he keep?
But everyone says
you.
That that guy was.
That's what he said.
I don't think that guy was that bad. Is what I'm saying. I think he did a.
He
good
He was
job.
Really good in our pregame show.
You had a game show.
We had a pre before right. The Price is Right pregame show.
Jazz hands.
Now I want to say Paul is making me feel nervous every time Paul says they're going to throw a smackdown on someone. It turns into a dogfight.
Yeah, just like it happened against the Bears.
Well, can we get some clarity on it? We have one guy telling us that Paul called every game practically. This year, exactly the way.
Thank you, Andy, for pointing out the facts.
Now we have the next guy who says Paul's always wrong, and if he says it's going to be a blowout, then we're going to be in a dogfight.
I mean, against Chicago, I was talking every bit as confidently as I am right now, and I was getting mocked that whole week too.
That's true. You were the one saying it.
Now I think Indianapolis is better than Chicago. Before you yell at me,
gee,
Andy.
Thanks.
You don't think they suck?
You know, Cutler to Luck.
I don't think Indianapolis sucks. I don't think they're very good. But they don't suck like Chicago does.
So it would be helpful if he could have a little doubt. So he wants you to have a little doubt, Paul. I cannot remember a game where everyone.
I really can't make any promises.
I can't remember a game where everyone has been so sure the Patriots are going to win since 2007. So I'm starting to get some flashbacks and nervousness. I mean, I keep having nightmares of that bootleg pass to the flat where it goes for 10 to 15 yards. About Jones, I rewatched the first half, and this is what I noticed. One. While they did run plays to Jones' side most of the time, Jones was on Ninko's side when it happened. Two, I saw the running back or tight end chip on Jones.
I have
Jones.
No idea what that means.
Wait,
can you reread that first part?
While they did run plays to Jones' side, where he usually lines up, I guess he means, most of the time, Jones was on Ninko's side when it happened. So he was
on
the defensive left side.
So basically he's saying they did run plays to the left, but when they did that, Jones was on the right.
Which means they were running them at Chandler Jones.
No.
No, they were running at Ninkovich.
The way he wrote it, they were running at Chandler Jones, but that's not what he meant, I don't think.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Two, I saw the running back or tight end chip on Jones. The guard hit Jones, and then he was one-on-one with the tackle. Okay. And then three, when Jones cut inside on the tackle, Chung would come down to the edge position. This would force the run back inside, and it seemed like it was the linebacker who was not getting to his spot. Is this possible?
Yes, that's very possible.
Is it possible?
All of that makes a lot of sense.
Is it possible Jones is getting more blame than necessary?
Always possible.
Needed?
People were failing to scrape to see.
The only thing I'll say is I'm not blaming Chandler Jones for the run defense, would you? I mean,
No.
I don't think he got any pressure on the passer.
But I also was a little curious as to what he was doing against the run.
I
the run defense I put on the front seven as a whole.
I do too, and that's why I said everything he just described, I don't know what their schemes are, but that is how run defense works. Some guys are asked to do something to set it up for somebody else to make a play, and if the guy who's supposed to make the play doesn't, it makes you look bad. Right?
You get your fits in.
And that's what happens for Andy when they talk about that. You know, now you're trying to do too much. Just
do your job.
Do your job.
You can get a hat
Brilliant.
And t-shirt that says just that in the Patriots Pro Shop if you're interested.
With Vince, I find it odd. People want to take Vince out and keep someone like Chris Jones in to get someone like Akeem Ayers on the field. Does this make sense to you guys, or am I just not seeing something?
Wait. Did anybody specifically say they wanted that?
No.
I heard Ayers, and we talked about yesterday.
Who
do you
take
out?
Right.
But I didn't hear anybody say, take Vince out and put Ayers in. I missed that.
How about Amendola? Hey, Kat, how do you feel now? About Danny Amendola, right?
Ooh.
Kat in Chicago.
Who's the pussy now, Kat?
And shout out
pussy
to the
Kat.
PFW Elite. Keep up the great work. Even you, Eric. So,
it's been a good show for those. And Eric, for some reason, is biting his tongue or moving it around his mouth, cleaning his teeth.
Having lunch.
It's more chicken parm over here, Andy.
It tastes so good.
Yeah.
It does taste
really good.
You should have another, Paul.
I had to.
You're wasting away.
I only had one.
Wow, he laughed.
Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Guys, I'm not going to say the line, but I'm kind of following Tim and Pensacola's lead today, so please don't drop me.
Okay.
Wait, your honor, by Fred's presence?
Yeah, I want to give Fred some props, and I want to just voice some concerns about Pauly Paul. So, you guys remember I've called Fred the Emperor before on the show, and I think with regards to Peyton Manning, everything has proceeded as he has foreseen.
That's true.
And we just forgot about the PFW effect that it didn't become apparent until the end of the season.
That's true, too.
I just don't remember Fred saying he was going to get
hurt. I was watching the game, I was watching the game, and I saw him just, you know, overthrowing guys, and all I could do was picture Fred just sitting in this big black swivel chair with, like, a cloak that was just barely fitting over his shoulders going, good.
Right, petting a cat. Right.
Just barely fitting over his very subtle job there. Well done.
Petting a pussy.
Oh, ho, 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 hey.
What? Cat, cat, cat. Pussy, cat.
What?
What do you? I didn't do anything.
Somebody did.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't any of us.
This kind of segues me to my next thing. Paul, I'm a little worried about you.
Why? Because I have confidence in the Patriots? I'm sorry.
No, not that. On the Colts-Seattle thing, why in God's name do you continue to engage Fred on these matters?
It's a good point.
Do you not realize that there is nothing waiting for you at the end of these debates?
No, I know exactly what's waiting, and I always am curious to how long it takes him to change what the argument was. And that's always my motivation.
I get that.
Actually, it was a statement I made. It wasn't even an argument. That's all. You know.
Oh, no, there was an argument in there.
Oh, yeah, it turned into one. Yeah.
Yeah, 30% chance to beat them, only a 10% chance to beat them. Yeah, I didn't say that. Okay.
The only thing is, I hear you guys going at it, and all I can do is think of those drops that you play about Paul going to his physical, and I'm just thinking, well, this isn't going to help at all.
No.
There is only one way you defeat the Emperor, Paul, and it's you throw your sword away and say, I'm not playing the game. And that's all I got for you guys. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Just to clear myself right, no matter what ends up happening.
Right. Which
then I could be like the Emperor.
With Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. That was actually me yesterday who said to put Ayers in and take Wolfork out. So,
oh, okay.
So you're the idiot.
Yeah, I'm the moron. So guilty as charged. And Eric, thanks for correcting me yesterday. It was Akeem, not Robert. I don't know why I said Robert.
That's all right.
But just a mistake. I had a quick question. You guys may or may not have the answer to it. With you know, the play where Edelman, you know, threw the touchdown pass the other day and the eligible receiver, what role on game day does Ernie Adams play, and is he in Bill's headset?
I believe so. He's in his headset because he's in the press box, and he is relaying information, certainly on challenges and things of that nature, clock management, timeouts. So, yeah, he has a channel.
So that's like, you know, he'll be in there if they Bill challenge that or something?
Yeah. He's at least one of the eyes in the press box that is trying to get that early read as to whether they should challenge.
And the other thing I had in regards to the play calling, does everything, like all the calls, go through Bill? And does Bill say yeah or no, or does, like, Patricia just call the D?
I think Patricia just calls the D, and Bill is the overseer. Trends and different, you know, let's dial up some pressures here or something like that.
Yeah, I think the coordinators have some, I think, authority to make those calls.
I think they do. Yeah. But the problem is that we've said this before. They're calling off a play sheet that was established by Bill with them early in the week and then tweaked late in the week after practice. But Bill oversees that. So whatever he calls is from Bill's allotment of here's what you can do.
Right. And when things aren't going well like they were the other day and they come to the sideline, it's Bill gathering the defense around and saying, here's what you're going to do
now. And I shot of that the other day.
There was.
And I think it was Brendan Daly in the background, right behind Bill, kind of listening, like he was an onlooker, an observer, had no
no
responsibilities here whatsoever.
Right, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Tackle.
All right, guys, you're the best.
All right.
Did you guys watch the post game too? The locker room footage.
The
Patriots.
Yeah, I did.
I thought that was good too. I'm always sort of interested in, like, this random Willie McGinnis appearance.
Right.
Are you on the NFL Network or are you a Patriot? I just don't know. Right. You're hugging post-game in a playoff
game. Like we're appalled that, like, Marshall Faulk is on a national network.
Right.
Who so clearly hates the Patriots he can't even see.
But Willie McGinnis
is in the locker room.
Hugging after a victory.
That's all right.
And I thought, like, it's funny when Robert hugs guys, like, you have this guy who's worth billions and he's like talking to the player. It's a funny environment and dynamic, and Dan Kraft is sort of just in the background hanging out watching.
Right.
The whole thing of it, I find interesting. It's an interesting, because they change in there. Like, they're naked and these behemoths are coming from a dogfight. Like, they have all this adrenaline going and then they're hugging Mr. Kraft. Like, it's a whole thing I find fascinating.
Okay.
Willie.
Let's go to Miguel in Oregon. Hey, Miguel.
Oh. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you guys can hear me well. I don't have that much reception where I'm working today. So
crystal clear.
Well, if you start not coming in while we'll hang up.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you guys a question, and you guys can tell me if it's overthinking or if that could actually work. I was thinking if we can line up Jonas Gray on the first. This is for the first play of the drive, like the first possession. If we can line Jonas Gray and just flat out do play action, and because they're going to be afraid of him and expecting a run, and on the next possession where they're going to be expecting more play action, actually pound the ball through their throat.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they start the game play action. Josh does that in regular situations, never mind against a team that you have driven it down their throat the last two times and certainly dominated them the last time. It's kind of why I was talking about the Cameron Fleming pass play. You know, you line up in that formation. We're going to pound it and then play action.
It just seems like we have leverage. Like, we don't have to set up the run right now because we already run the ball a lot on them. So they're going to be on the first possession. They're going to be expecting us to run.
Yep.
If we can do play action, I think that would be great.
Play action to Gronk, 45 yards over the middle. All of a sudden, you're at midfield and you're ready. The place is rocking and the game's over.
You're also assuming that Jonas...
And I think we need to chill out. Everybody's freaking out because we are favorites on this game. I think it don't matter. I think we're going to win. It's not going to be easy, but I think we're going to win. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Miguel.
I think people are also assuming.
Haven't heard any freaking out either.
Well, there is a few of his PTSDs or PSTDs or whatever they are that the last time there was so much confidence was 2007. And look how that turned out.
Okay.
You know, here's the thought, though. What if Jonas Gray's inactive again?
Did he make it? You said everybody was at practice, right?
Except for Stork.
He broke from that interview that started at like 11:58 and made it to practice. That's good. I was worried.
He did.
Oh, it'd be interesting if they activate guys like James White and Gray, guys who, you know, you never know. We might need them in the Super Bowl, but here's the time to give them some work, and they treat it
now
that way.
Now it's a preseason game.
Oh, where's Alan Georgia? We should treat this like a preseason game.
And I'm part of the problem.
Beckett's playing.
He wants everybody to get a letter, and it's my I'm the problem.
Now, I will be of the belief that if he's inactive, I'm not going to be happy. Because it's the first step towards, oh, we're throwing the ball. We're not going to run heavy today. We don't need extra
Well, what if the ankle actually isn't good?
Oh, and he wouldn't be practicing.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what he's doing in practice.
I know he hasn't missed any of them.
Right, but, I mean, do we
know? So if he had an ankle injury that was that bad, that was preventing him from playing, then he wouldn't be out practice every day.
Okay.
I mean, it's just my opinion. I don't know, have any medical knowledge
on it. And they would still have Blunt and Bolden to be... In theory,
Bolden's not
your big
guy to run.
No, but they would have a guy. They would have guys to do it.
Anybody can just run against this defense.
That's my point. And if they come out and throw it 50 times, it's a bad plan.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. But if they do,
don't think there's any chance of it.
I'll rip them. I'm going to start now.
The only way they throw 50 passes in this game is if they have to, not because they want to.
Well, if they get into a shootout and they're down three
they
scores,
fall behind. Yeah,
yeah, that's fine. 30, I got no problem with
30
that.
Runs, 35 passes.
Okay, Eric.
Andy wants him to fall behind by three scores. See, I can do it to him just like I do it to you, Fred.
What did I do?
You say, I have no problem with that if they fall behind by three scores.
No, I have no problem if they throw it when behind by three scores.
I know what you mean.
I won't change my argument, and I won't go quietly like Fred does because he's scared of what he said. I don't know what I said.
Fred goes quietly? Well, please.
You had him in a corner yesterday, and you were trying to bat him around
I did not
a
have
bit.
Him in a corner.
You were trying to manipulate him, and he doesn't think well at this age.
I was simply asking him to clarify a sentence. Still waiting.
He's reading emails.
Marcus is in Kansas City. Hey, Marcus.
Marcus.
And Andy. Right.
What?
No offense. I'm just messing with y'all. But anyway, Fred, I wanted to call because I wanted to give you credit. You accurately predicted the downfall of legend this season with Peyton Manning.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you some credit on that.
Preamble
to
Jack.
Imagine what he's going to do when he's really done. If he threw 40 touchdown passes and he had his downfall.
Nah, but I mean, he did say he was going to fall off. He didn't say when he was going to fall off in the season.
Right.
That's right.
Someday. Fred was right. Paul never likes to give anyone else credit.
That's
he always
right.
wants
exactly.
it for himself.
He's got to be snarky.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what he is.
Yep.
It's embarrassing.
I remember Fred said that he was going to get hurt. I do remember that.
No, he did say this season he would fall off.
And he was right.
It didn't happen, but
he was right.
Yeah, but like Paul, and we love you for it. Continue being semi-hater.
Semi-hater,
dude's a hater.
He's a full erect hater.
Damn, he said erect, but all right. But nah, you know, I'm trying to manufacture some fear for this game. Yeah. I'm trying to but it's just not working. It's just not. I'm not saying they can't come in here and win, but I just don't see them coming into Foxborough and pulling off this victory. I can't see it. I just can't. Like, it's just not.
It's okay. You can say it. You can say the Patriots are a better team and they will win.
I mean,
everybody's just trying to get themselves up.
Last time people were this confident, they lost.
Because,
but the irony of the whole situation is last week when you had a legitimate team in here that could play with you, no one thought that team could beat them. This year, this week,
yeah, but I think,
you're playing the Little Sisters of the Poor and everybody's winning.
But I think that was in response to a lot of the media going into the week saying, the Ravens aren't going to
be
afraid.
So why don't you just say it then? You just want to be a contrarian.
Well, it was a defense mechanism.
Right, you're
is
all
what
there.
It was a defense mechanism.
Just have some strength in your convictions. No one thinks the Patriots can possibly lose this game unless you try to come up with some sort of cockamamie idea that the Colts can be competitive. They have not been competitive with any good team they play. None.
Not all season, but Denver.
Do you understand the Ted Nation rule on cockamamie trades?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it. I just don't see it. But you know what I'm saying?
This would be an epic choke. If this game is in question in the last 5 minutes, it would be an unbelievable choke.
From
the Patriots
your job to choke job.
Yeah, because that's the only way I see it.
Sounds like a good cover.
This is something
about our last.
What's the guy's name? Nick Baby Love? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I wanted to send a prayer out to that man because isn't he like terminal? Is there something going on with it?
I don't know that.
He's got his issues.
Yeah. I think he said he was sick or something like that. I just wanted to send some prayers out.
Okay.
Very nice. Just send him a tweet. He's on Twitter now.
Yep.
I have never seen a more devoted fan than this cat right there.
He is devoted.
And he will ask random ass questions. But I'll be like, all right, that's tough. But that's all I wanted, gentlemen. I'm about to head into work. I'll listen to y'all off with it.
All right. Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus.
Good call. Sergio from Chicago reminds us something we brought up earlier in the show. And the more I think about it, the more it's starting to piss me off, too, not just Sergio. About Ray Lewis said, here's the quote, if it weren't for one controversial call made 13 years ago, the world would not know the name Tom Brady.
That's so stupid.
It's utterly insane.
I mean, are these guys the worst losers ever, the Baltimore Ravens?
He's not even a loser.
It's an insane comment.
No, I know. And
he's a two-time champion. He's a Hall of Famer. Why are you looking around?
What was that noise?
I farted.
Jeez.
Fred didn't hear that one.
But Ray Lewis is
not a loser.
Your
farts actually talk now? Because that was like words.
Well, I think that's what you heard. It happened just before he asked what was that noise, so I assumed. But he's not a loser. There's nothing loser about Ray Lewis.
No.
And for him to say that, and by the way, he's an analyst. He's not. You can't even say he's living on his hunting ranch with cockamamie thoughts in his head.
Right.
He's supposed to know the league and be breaking stuff down.
Be big today.
It's one of the dumbest things ever said. And it's worse than Marshall Faulk just saying, Moncrief now, when they're talking about something totally other than the Colts passing game. Like, Ray Lewis just made the idiocy Hall of Fame.
Let's see. Scott from Atlanta says, on the comparisons to this game being predicted as the biggest beatdown since 07, wrong. That Denver Tebow playoff game, that was predicted as a huge beatdown, and they delivered.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's
true.
Absolutely right.
We all went into that game thinking there's no way.
And we also did the same thing the next year when they played Houston.
The other team has a quarterback in this game. That team didn't.
Yep. True.
Some would argue that neither team did.
And I would argue that only slight in terms of the chances for the Colts, slightly better.
Significantly better than the Tim Tebow Broncos.
Yeah,
I'm talking about winning the game.
You should have to play 11-on-11, and that team didn't.
Your hatred is just unbelievable.
Total side note, for a lot of Patriots fans, and weird Patriots fans, get pissy about Andrew Luck, like too much as being, he's going to be great.
Right, like the Beatle, like our host on
Did you happen to
post-game.
See, listen to, you? I'm probably asking the wrong person, Bill Belichick did the exact same thing. He said it today, and I forget the exact phrase, but, in the next 10 years, 10, 15 years, he's going to do a lot of things. And
How about rattling off all his strengths?
Just like these people do, like analyst fans, when they say Luck is going to be the marquee of the NFL, going to be the face, Bill essentially said the same exact thing.
How about rattling off all his strengths and then saying there are no weaknesses?
Right. But he does that against everybody. I have never before heard him say about a quarterback what they're going to do in the next decade to this league. And he said that about Luck today, and that's what pisses Patriots. Why don't we let the guy accomplish something before we anoint him the chosen one? Well, guess who's anointed him the chosen one? Your chosen one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dana's in Connecticut. Sucks. Hey, Dana.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it, guys. Sure. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Paul, I want to say a few things to you. I got to give you kudos. You were one of the few analysts and Patriot fans that predicted, the ferocity that the Ravens were going to bring. I was not of that school. I thought we were going to handle them well. I think it was much to do about the Ravens playing well as us not playing so well. It's a combination of both, but you have to give credit to the Ravens. The thing I have to say here is I don't get the downplaying of the Indies' ability to play this game competitively. I mean, if we were playing Denver this week, everybody would be excited about a close game. They handled Denver in Denver. They're a different team now. Their front is a lot different. I don't see us running the ball well against them like we did the last game. So I'm concerned about this game. And Luck does things in the pocket that scares me on broken play. So this could be a close game. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I like your thinking, Dana.
I'm a little nervous.
And he's right. If Denver was here, we'd be all saying this is going to be a close game.
But the flaw in that argument.
But I've been saying it's going to be a close game.
What did you say? All right. Yeah. So I know that we're not going to make our picks till tomorrow. Right. But the Patriots are favored by 7. Are the Patriots covering?
I think they will cover.
Then
yes.
You don't think it's going to be close, right? You think they're going to win by more than a touchdown?
Yes, but I think it's going to be a close game throughout. I don't think it's going to be blowout from the opening kickoff.
All right, well, maybe it won't be from the opening kickoff, but it's going to be a blowout. And the flaw in the Denver argument is, you watched that game last week. Did you think it was because, wow, the Colts really brought it today? Or Denver just looks completely lost?
I think the Colts played they dared Manning to throw long. I think they were aggressive. I think they played well.
How many times did they have opportunities to do that and they couldn't do it?
I know, but
it was about Denver last week, not about Indianapolis.
It wasn't all Denver playing poorly.
It was.
Okay.
Guys were open all over the place, and he could not hit the broadside of a barn.
And 8 to 10 points is not a blowout. That's covering the spread. That's not a blowout either. Well,
it is.
To me, a blowout is...
It just depends how the game goes.
No, but I was going to say...
You know, I
need to see the game before I say a 10-point game is a blowout.
Generally, 10 points is not a blowout.
Now, I predicted the Patriots were going to cover the spread last week in a close game that the last play was going to be sort of a pick six. Now, the pick didn't end up being a pick six, so it stayed 4. If Daron Harmon returned that interception 100 yards for a touchdown, I would not have considered that a blowout.
Right.
But there are plenty of I think that Denver blew out the Patriots last year in a game they won by 10. I think that was far and away a blowout. The game was never competitive. That's what I'm envisioning here, only I think it's going to be more like 25 points, not
so
10.
So you're definitely, in this case, you're saying a blowout is
always
control of the game
from start to finish.
Control of the game.
The Patriots will never be in trouble in this game, in my opinion. They've never been in trouble in any of the games against the Colts, and they've all been relatively close in the fourth quarter at one time or another.
What's that, Dana?
That's a different Colts team now. I'm telling you,
from 2 months ago.
At some point, they're going to get over the threshold, and this could be the week. This is a different Colts team, Paul.
But from the last time they played,
this is not going to be a 20-point game, my friend. No way.
Listen, if I'm wrong, we'll be here a week from Tuesday. Tuesday, and we'll be talking about it. And I'll tell you guys, I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming. I'll be the first one to admit it.
And you're good, that's why I like you. You're very good about that. And I say the same thing about the Ravens. I thought it was going to be a wrecking ball game, and they completely surprised me. Their defense is really good. I didn't see that.
See, I don't think their defense is really good. I think that they played well last week against a beaten down opponent that limped to the finish line, knowing that their quarterback was done.
He's talking about the Ravens. He's talking about the
Ravens. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the Colts defense.
I hear you, though, Paul. I do think, Manning missed a lot of open receivers, and I think we're going to score a lot of points, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't see our defense holding them to 20 points again. I think they're going to be in the 30s. We're going to have to be in the 40s.
I'm going to hold on to the one-game aberration thing with the Patriots defense. I'm going to stick with you, Fred, for a second week in a row. If you lead me astray, I'm going to have to cut ties with you. I give you an opportunity. I'm going to have to cut ties with you.
Well, the Patriots have known to have that
bad defensive game where they can't stop anybody, the nosebleed game. But I agree. I think they're going to play a little bit better. But they got Luck's going to I think he's going to have a pretty good game against us. I don't think it's going
to
be a blowout.
All right, thanks, Dana. Let's go to one more call, then we're going to wrap up this edition of PFW in Progress. Mike's in Pensacola. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. You're wrapping up PFW in Progress.
Hey, fantastic. Thanks, you guys. I just got a quick comment on the game. I think it's going to be, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to slam the Colts quicker than Tom Brady could slam a beer back in the day. I saw that article, you know, in the news probably earlier in the season.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be, you know, Tom Brady throws three touchdowns and, you know, we run for a couple. I think, you know, the one thing everybody's overlooking is, or at least I haven't heard much about it, was LeGarrette Blount. We didn't have him for the Indianapolis game. And even if Jonas Gray's out, that's a different animal that, yeah, they have a little bit of tape on as far as, the Colts have that on LeGarrette Blount. But, you know, I think if we use him and utilize that run game some more, I really think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think the Colts are going to stand a chance. I think we're going to absolutely rip them to shreds.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason really not to try to run the ball.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
They got to run. They got to try.
Whether it's Gray or Blount,
they're
going to
run it. They're going to throw
Bolden.
It. They're going to do everything, anything they want.
Yeah,
I'd rather see.
All right, thanks
I'd
for the call.
Blount or Gray.
That's going to be
take
all right.
Care.
All right, that's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I turned off my computer, so I can't hang up on it. That's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John is here with the playbook.
Woohoo!
He's getting ready, and then Bob Soucy at 4 o'clock. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow with our picks
Woo-hoo!
In the final show before the PPGS.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.